This guy's a legend right here. Start it off for us, okay?
R-E-S-T-E-C-T. Find out what it means to me. R-E-S-T-E-C-T. Take care of me.
Okay.
R-E-S-P-C-T. Find out what it means to me.
R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Find out what it means to me. R-E-S-T-E-C-P.
Respect. I've heard this word spelled a few too many times this week.
It's a simple word.
And
said
quite a few.
A1 spelling bee.
R-E-S-P-I-C-T seemed to be the preferred spelling on your tweet last night.
Who was the last speller?
I think was it Obama when Obama messed it up?
Oh, I forgot about that.
He's
That's
on
right.
there, yeah.
Okay. Well, what's popping? We're in the DealsNitty.com studios getting ready for a big weekend at Mesa, Saturday, 4 to 7, and there may be some passes for Arts, Beats, and Eats if you want to go see a couple of the giggers that night, like the Money Man, Michigan football, of course, right after the gig, and, oh yeah, Zot Ford has the passes out in Holly, and some people have picked them up, but I know they have some left, so if you're still thinking about that, you might call ahead. I think they have plenty, though. And the Aretha abrasion goes on today. I was just watching the Channel 4 story at 4 o'clock. I was just saying, I don't know if I should watch this again because I just get too cynical. I mean, it's
You're too sad about the passing?
No, I everyone's trying to say how great she looks, and I don't think that's possible. But I don't know. I'm not looking at her. It's just, you know, people want to be so nice in death, and I think the outpouring for Aretha Franklin, I totally get it. She's huge. She crosses all barriers. She really had an amazing audience.
The response to this is weird, though.
Death is weird, though.
People reacted different ways.
For some reason, people aren't saying John McCain looks so good.
Really?
No.
This is closed.
Maybe he needs to wear a rose gold dress. Is that what her outfit is?
Yeah, you'll
is
hear
today?
The description. Okay. Paul Tubman talks about how beautiful she looks, and one woman says she looks 50 years younger.
Oh, okay.
Which is weird. I mean, people are going to want to die if they hear that. we should just watch the story. I'll try and keep my mouth shut.
The Queen of Soul moves to the city's west side and the riverfront today. Aretha Franklin's final public viewing is starting to wrap up at the new Bethel Baptist Church, where her father was a minister. Later, thousands will celebrate her life at a musical tribute this evening at Shane Park on Detroit's riverfront. Let's start with Paula.
Sorry, you died.
That new Bethel, where she has been all day long,
and
you've been covering the viewings all week, Paula. What is different about this day?
Oh, Karen, so very different. Just start with the venue. So at the Rotunda, I mean, it was very big. It was very rich. Here, we're back to history. We're back to the roots. She's had a change of clothes. Even her nails are painted differently. And here she is with her neighbors.
As the processional caravan rolls down Linwood toward her church home, a wave of emotion. Aretha's home. She's in her father's house. She's returned to her own community. to say a final goodbye.
Because she touched so many people. She touched so many genres of music, whether it was R&B, jazz, classical, and that's why I'm emotional.
Because the podcast
brings people together, and we love
Who is that?
As the shining
one of her neighbors
was taken into the church, it did not disappoint. It delighted.
This is history. This is history. This is all we got is right here. Mr. Aretha Franklin.
We love her. She's home.
Standing in line, women
she's
who home. Grew up with Aretha Franklin in this neighborhood before she was the Queen of Soul. They remember sitting in this church in the pews as young girls and watching their peer.
It was anointing. You felt like chill bumps. Anointing. She felt, you could feel the anointing in her voice. You felt like she was going places, even when she was
my peer.
Tuesday, she was regal in red. Wednesday, angelic in shimmering silvery blue. Today, resplendent in peachy pink.
It was so beautiful, man. She looked 50 years younger. It looked like when, back in the day when she made respect. And I had the highest respect for her and her family. They got my condolences.
How can I be born and raised in Detroit and not come and see Aretha, even though I've seen her in concert? And she looks just as beautiful in death. Lord, I mean, who would ever think that?
New Bethel Baptist Church is the church her father built.
It ain't all about you, sweetheart.
Continued to support. And behind the joy and the pain.
Look at all the phones recording.
Of course.
And the tributes. There's also worry. What becomes of the people who call this church home now that the Queen has gone home?
I'm praying that God is all things. He said my grace is sufficient. So we're praying for that.
But today, worry will be set aside.
Did she
and
support
appreciation
the church financially?
Fills that I hole. Don't know.
And her music is everlasting. And we should remember her always.
God's like, don't drag me into this.
Well, okay.
Oh, that's nice.
It's just so weird. I mean, of course, everyone's a spin it. It almost seems like it's better that she's dead because she looks better. And
yeah, you know why? Because these people probably haven't thought about her in two years, maybe.
It is amazing what a performer of the people she is. I mean, this is such a cross section of Detroit. And, you know, they go on to talk about the gig tonight. And it really started bumming me out because they were showing people who were in picnic chairs because they can't afford tickets, so they're sitting outside to listen to it. Man, it blows.
Did you see who's going to show up?
Who?
Oh, I think this is for the funeral. LeBron James and Isaiah Thomas.
Wow. Oh, okay.
Isaiah, yes. LeBron?
I don't know why he's coming, but he will.
Respect.
Exactly.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, man.
How silly of me. Whatever. I think it's cool. I think the more big people that come, it just shows what a giant she is. And you know, I knew there would be a president there. I bet there will be two or three.
I feel like I'm missing something, though. Did LeBron know her, or is it just...
I don't think so. Not
because he's famous.
He probably just sees her as a civil rights icon, which I never really saw her as, but apparently, I mean, that's been written about a lot this week. So
well, look how she brought the people together.
She did.
This week. No. And I was thinking about the contrast in the solemn affairs of McCain.
Yeah.
And the processional past him versus Aretha. But it makes sense because she was an entertainer and.
Oh, yeah.
A different community.
Yeah.
Different response.
It's politicians.
I mean, this is really cool. I got to say.
Show some R E S P I C T.
I can't rag on it because I know I could be one of those people if it was a different person. And not that I don't totally respect Aretha.
Really?
As an artist? Oh.
No. Really? You could.
No, I wouldn't act like that.
Yeah.
Okay. I would. But I mean, I would be. It would be a big deal to me. Showing up, I don't know. I'm not sure why. Some people do, and some
I don't get it.
It's not that's just not a me thing, but
who would you stand in line for?
Oh, lots McCartney. Of people. Any of the Beatles, of course. Mick Jagger, Keith Richards. I mean, any of those guys.
Stand in line.
No, I wouldn't. No, I don't think. I'm just saying, I would be very well when Prince died. When
that's
Tom Petty died. Yeah, I mean, that was like whoa. I mean, it was.
But it's a different kind of person.
I'm probably sadder about when one of my rock heroes dies than when people in my life die.
Yeah.
Well, they've probably done more for you.
Maybe they have. I don't know.
You communicated more with that music.
That's true. It sounds ridiculous, but I don't know. I thought about that, and I thought, that's really fucked up. What's wrong with me? So.
Oh, no, I believe this. When David Bowie died, I felt
David Bowie,
hang.
That was huge.
It was part of me. He was hanging out with me when I was like 13.
Yeah.
He grew up
with Radio Shack Stereo.
I was watching stuff online for days after David Bowie. I mean, she could spend hours looking at stuff and just thinking, no. And you know what's weird is that he hasn't been putting out music that I listen to in a long time, but yet still...
That's what's weird about Aretha. I mean, what's new? Or Michael Jackson, too. He didn't put out new
not in a long time.
Died.
I don't think so.
You know what the great thing is about music? It's so easy.
Exactly. Somebody finally hits it on the head.
I'm just really looking forward to Snyder's speech at the funeral. That's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I'm so glad.
What? Rick Snyder?
All these politicians have availed themselves.
Or Al Sharpton's speech.
You know, somebody is going to make, and this is what I'll be looking for, stuff like this tomorrow, who makes the speech that's way too long, who shouldn't even be speaking in the first place.
We already know. Well, the too long speech is going to be Clinton.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It will be. And he'll make it about him somehow.
Trudy and I were watching his speech at the Rosenberg's funeral again, which is so, so funny. And he made a joke about it being so long before he even started. He loves himself.
He does. He loves himself. But he's a president. Don't all presidents love themselves? I mean, don't you have to love yourself to be a president?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think Jimmy Carter really likes himself that much anymore.
He loves the fact that he's Jimmy Carter. I mean, he's always on a plane somewhere, flying coach.
Yeah, kissing people's ass.
You see the interview he did on CBS this morning earlier in the week?
About?
Well, I think it was for Habitat for Humanity. But, of course, McCain died, so they asked him about that. And it's John, is it John Gibson or John? I don't know who the guy is in the morning.
Yeah.
And he's interviewing him, and Carter had the hard hat on the whole time. The interview looked ridiculous.
900 years
it
old.
So ridiculous.
That'd be cool if a giant roof tile came and just whacked him on the helmet.
And killed the CBS guy, but Carter lived because he had the OSHA-regulated hard hat on.
Because you can't kill Carter.
No.
No, you can't.
He's a survivor of brain cancer, and he lived.
Yeah, he's
also
a pretty tough guy. He's
a survivor
of
a presidency that a lot of people didn't like, and now looking back on him, he's like, oh, that guy's not so bad.
Well, the circumstance, he was very unlucky. I think of a lot of presidency is luck. And, you know, when the bad shit happens when you're the president, it's your fault. If the bad shit happens right before you're president, you're bound to get a bounce, so you're going to be... But it usually, this is what's weird about this presidency, it's the economy stupid.
Yeah.
Isn't
that
really the thing everyone gets back to eventually? And in this presidency, it doesn't seem to be the economy stupid. Or maybe it is. We'll find out in 2020, I guess.
But the Iran hostage thing, really...
Oh, yeah.
Oofed.
And then
Carter,
they were released
hard.
On the day of Reagan's inauguration, which was,
On
purpose. Did that on purpose?
He got boofed hard.
Oh. He was hard head on.
Hopefully.
Why you need one?
Of course.
Zod M59 Dodge Ram and Zod M59 Chrysler Jeep continue rocking the deals in the D Summer Clearance event. They've got the redesigned 19 Ram Bighorn Crew Cab at just $248 a month. Ram Bighorn, the number one selling half-ton truck in Detroit, and you can lease it for $248 a month at Zot M59 Dodge Ram. Hey, are we live on Facebook?
Yeah.
Or were we?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Are we still?
I should have mentioned Prudential Arm, by the way, that they sponsor the Facebook page. And you can text Drew direct for the Maz Deluxe Limited Edition Alarm. Anyway, it's a commercial in the middle of another commercial. How about that? 248-469-5258. So, yeah, the Ram Bighorn, what a deal. $248 a month. And then Jeep, during their... Zot M59 Chrysler Jeep Summer Clearance Event. You can lease a new loaded Jeep, an 18 Jeep Cherokee for $199 a month. Can't believe you can get a Jeep for that kind of price, but you can. This Cherokee has leather seats, heated leather seats, all-wheel drive, backup camera, CarPlay, plus much, much more, and it can be yours for $199 a month. When am I going to get one of these deals? Why am I spending so much money on my vehicles? Check out their ridiculous Summer Clearance Event specials and massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. Then I mentioned Drew and our friends at Prudential Alarm for the month of August, which is wrapping up. I want to call fast. They're offering a free camera with any home alarm for $99 installed. You get a home alarm, 3-door contacts, 1-motion, LTE radio, keyboard, keypad, key fob, and a free camera. You can arm, disarm, look in, and check on your home or business all from the same app. To schedule your free analysis, visit PrudentialAlarms.com or call 800-252-0368. Ask for Drew and tell him you came from the podcast. Call Prudential Alarm today for any residential or commercial security need you have. If you can think it, they can protect you from it. I like that. I think that's a great line there. I heard the guy Ryan on Million Dollar Listing talks about expanding always in always.
Always in always.
Cute. I like that, though. I think I'm co-opting it. We're looking to expand always and always, too.
Take it over.
Yeah, call Prudential Alarms today, 800-252-0368 for literally any security need you may have, or call Drew, or text Drew direct, 248-469-5258. Drops will be flying for the Maz Deluxe Limited Edition Alarm Package today.
And you might see a woman in shackles outside of your door at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
I guess those were restraints.
Yeah, that's a wild story.
It was even stranger than we thought it would be.
Yeah, that's...
They found out who she is.
He's dead.
Yeah,
whoever shackled her is dead.
Committed suicide and left a note that I guess explained everything, but of course they're not. The cops aren't sharing it.
I'm sure it's a very accurate explanation.
Sure. I'm sure it makes
clinical.
Total sense.
Sure,
and now
she's
staying with family members away from there. She was in a domestic violence type situation.
Wow, it's funny. It was everything we thought it was. Except why'd she disappear?
But weirder, though.
Why did she just poof?
I don't know.
Poof.
That hour of the morning and you're scared and I don't know.
But she poofs from the camp. It's like she comes up, rings the doorbell, and poof, she's gone like
a
ghost.
Hang around a bit. Maybe she thought she was being chased. She's 32. He was 49.
Okay. Let's see. Dr. Roche and it's boobs, all boobs. They have a special right now going for boobs for September, I believe it is. And you were talking about the natural way of increasing breast size. I thought that was exciting.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Put your fat to use.
Yeah. Because then they're taking fat out of one place and putting it in another place where you want it, which people make jokes about it all the time.
Yeah.
But Dr. Roche has been doing that for years with face, you know, with people that have, you know, old, tired, wrinkly skin in their face. They get an injection of fat in the face, and that's a significant procedure, but it really works. I mean, that's the problem with the fillers. People love Botox and fillers, but they last for, 6 months?
Right.
And then you do it again, and you do look, you really, it's a dramatic freshening up of your look and your face, if you're thinking about that.
This plumps up some of those, you know, caved in.
Yeah.
Caved in places.
And old's a bitch.
I know.
And,
sayonara, butt face!
Right.
And a lot of people feel, damn it, why don't I have bigger boobs? Well, you can do it naturally now. And then, of course, there are the usual ways, the implants, which are so effective, and you can get them in any size. Big, or bigger, or huge, or basketball. No, actually, they don't have a basketball size. I don't know if Dr. Roche should do that. Although, he's asked to do things against his better judgment all the time.
Oh,
it's a tough gig over there.
The booties?
Like, oh, yeah, the booties.
Booty increases?
Who would have thought that that would really be something that would catch on? And that's, you know, the Brazilian butt lift. Boy, I see so many women with that look. And, you know, it's not for me, but a lot of guys like it. A lot of women like it. So, whatever. We need to talk about something along those lines in a minute, the Cosmopolitan cover, and we will.
Oh, yeah.
But first, call Dr. Roche if you want to consult on any of these things they do, including Diva. And, of course, they do all those great things with lasers. If you want green blobs removed, that's one way you can do it. 248-338-1110, 248-338-1110, DROCHE. Somebody emailed and said, God damn you, I have a tattoo, and it looks like a green blob to me now.
I disagree with you for a long time, and you've convinced me now. It is all just green blobs.
Yeah.
Well,
it is.
Color doesn't really, it's from a distance. It's not when I'm up close. It's from a distance. It's like, well, look at all those green blobs.
And it's usually on a picture or a computer screen.
Yeah.
And from a distance, in person, you don't think they're green blobs, do you?
Not right up close, but if I'm a few feet away, it's like, oh, there's a green blob in that arm.
The green thing today was enough.
The Lady Gaga pictures, you know, I know she's nude and she's thin and she's really happy about the way she looks, but I just saw the green blobs right away. I'm like, oh, wow, look, can she wash off those green blobs?
All right.
Why come you don't have a tattoo?
It's horrible. I know, I'm sorry.
Lady Gaga nude. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
From her Instagram picture?
I did not see that.
Yeah, she looks good.
She does.
I like Lady Gaga.
You know, the best picture, though, is the straight-on one where you can see the green blobs. Sorry. I thought that was a good picture, too.
I see.
And she's wearing that see-through sort of bodysuit. She looks really good.
She looks like she's being held captive, though, in some shed somewhere.
Yeah, look on her face isn't quite right, is it?
Background.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
She isn't. Well, she...
I really was confused by it. Like, why does she want to put out nude pictures? She's not a model. I mean, she's not... She's attractive, but she's not the hottest.
I remember I was like, God, she hasn't put out music in a while. Is this why she's doing it? Does she have a new album coming out? And she does.
Okay.
She's got that movie.
Okay.
A remake of
Star is Born.
A Star is Born with Bradley Cooper. She's going to be in that. So,
is it weird to anyone how so many people really want to be nude? It always seemed like it was just, there's just a few people, they look great, and they're like, you know, they're going to get paid some money, so they're going to be, it seems like people don't even care about sex tapes anymore.
No, it's totally cool.
I've seen this guy naked from head to toe.
See?
It totally used to be almost scandalous. Right. They were doing that story on, Investigative Discovery Channel. People are so angry at me for calling it Investigative ID.
Because it's over redundant.
Yes, well, ridiculous. It's not the name of the network. Anyway, the story about Darlie Coudier, who killed her, well, she's found guilty, she's on death row, for killing her two little girls.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just horrible story. She said an intrigue.
Yeah, well, you know, it's tough being a single mom, you know.
And her neck was slit, but of course she was okay really fast.
Oh.
And then they had the silly string funeral at the grave. Yeah. Remember that?
Weird.
Silly string. Yeah, it was really weird. But they, you know, they entered that in the court in the case, which a lot of people feel, wait a second, that has nothing to do with anything. That's not evidence. They also left out, of course, that they had a service before that where people were crying and, you know, they had a normal service. So however you feel about that whole thing, what I was going to say about her was the jury was told that she got these giant breast implants. And the jury, I mean, that was in 1997, apparently people in small towns in Texas thought that, well, she's a really awful mark there. I mean,
what a hussy. I mean,
doesn't it seem weird to imagine that a jury would hold that against someone?
Yeah.
I mean, nowadays it seems like you're going, wow, they look really good.
Well, now it's like, why haven't you done it?
Yeah, what? You didn't go big enough, or it was just weird to watch that story and the way that was treated. So, anyway,
look at these big boobs.
Moving forward with a story today that's really getting a lot of talk. It's this Cosmopolitan cover of
Green Blob.
Tess Holliday is her name, and again,
we've talked about her so many times too.
She's a very big, big in stature model, and she's very big. She must weigh. Does anyone want to guesstimate her weight?
850 pounds.
I'm gonna say more like 550 or 450. I don't know, but if she told me she was 850, I might buy it.
How tall is she?
Okay, I'll go height first.
She's so wide, it's deceptive. I mean, she's really, really big.
Oh, Google won't tell me.
What?
That's offensive for me to.
Trump is right.
Don't tell you her height. Hiding things.
Usually you can Google it and it comes right up, and you have to look through all these self-love moments.
That's it. I'm trying Bing.
You know what's weird? Yeah. I have been trying to Google.
No one ever.
I Google a lot of things while I watch TV.
Uh-huh.
And I was watching this story about this guy who...
Bing says she's 260 pounds.
Whoa, right up?
Yes.
Who says that?
Bing.com, which Bing. Is...
No, she's bigger than that. Wow. There's no way she weighs 260.
Google won't tell us how much she weighed, so at least Microsoft has no problem.
I was trying to Google... Okay, this is really lame, but this guy... Again, on Investigative Discovery. This guy murdered his wife's boyfriend, who she had promised to leave, and then she didn't leave, and then he lost. He tried to drown his wife, and they thought better of it, and so she ran over to his house. This is in Missouri, I think. He came over the next morning. She was in the shower, of course. Not very good timing. So he shot the boyfriend guy and killed him, and then took off in a truck and gave an interview on the radio while he was in the truck, which is
nice.
Yeah, great audio. It's a great story. So anyway, I see the at the end of the story, they show the pictures of the real people, and I'm like, well, she's pretty hot. So I look her up online, and she's completely erased. She is gone. It's like she doesn't exist.
Really?
Yeah, and he exists. They'll show you his prison photo. They'll show you the guy he killed, but it's like she just vanished.
Like Gavin Belson?
Did he?
He erased himself from the internet in Silicon Valley.
Did he?
The TV show Silicon Valley? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about the mayor of... San Francisco, Gavin Newsom.
What is this chick's name that was?
I can't even remember the name, but I just thought that was so weird. Like, how did she get removed? You can't remove anything. The guy whose daughter was killed in the terrible car crash, you know, and there were these horrible pictures of her body all dismembered at the site. People were sending that to his email and his kid's email and his wife's email, and he spent thousands and tens of thousands trying to get it erased from the internet and couldn't do it. And yet this woman, who had this affair, she is, I swear to you, I spelled her name. I tried it a million different ways. You can't find her online. It was just bizarre.
Tess Holliday is 5'3".
Oh, so that impression. She's got to be 350 pounds.
One of the stories said, she said, at my heaviest, I was 300 pounds.
Bullshit.
Well, it's straight from the
Well, I don't know what she mouth. Was. But there's all this. Piers Morgan came out and said, you know what? This is unhealthy. This is not something people should say this is good. And of course, everyone's arguing against that, saying, she needs to have good self-esteem to have a good body image, so everyone needs to say this is great.
No, she can have good self-esteem. She can like her body. Doesn't mean everybody else has to like it, and it's not healthy, period.
No, look
it might
her
be good for
arms.
Her mental health, but physically health, it's not good.
Well,
and I'm glad she's happy with herself, but why is she on the cover of Cosmo?
I don't know.
Is that going to sell issues? Are people going to buy that because there's a big chick on there?
I think that's, I mean,
that's the bottom line. If they can sell magazines putting fat chicks on the cover, then of course they're going to sell magazines.
But that's usually the cover.
Call it something else.
Usually the cover has to be something that's, you know, like pleasing to the eye.
Well, yeah.
In some way. I hate saying that, but.
What is Cosmo, like, what is their hook? Is it about fashion? Is
it's
it about
always,
lifestyle?
Yeah,
or what?
Both those things, but it's
360
always
ways to make him feel better in bed is what it's usually about.
So it's about sex. Exactly. Well, she doesn't fit fashion, lifestyle, or sex. I'm sorry.
No.
Her post on Twitter was, pew. I'm literally a Cosmo girl. Can't believe I'm saying that. Crying emoji.
Wait, why is she? Okay, a Cosmo
Nobody
girl.
Can believe
people
you're saying
do
that.
Say that, but they say it because it's such a compliment to be a Cosmo girl. Did they pick her because she's so, I mean, she's that gorgeous? I don't think so.
This other line in here, if I saw a body like mine on this magazine when I was a young girl, it would have changed my life. She's a successful model at 300 pounds. How would it have changed her life? Would it have been worse? Because that she seems fairly successful. We talk about her all the time.
I don't know.
Is she runway successful?
I don't know.
I don't think people that weigh 300 pounds should be told that it's a good idea or that, you know, you're great. Well, you're wonderful. Of course, everyone's wonderful. We want everyone to have good self-esteem. That doesn't mean that necessarily it's good to be three times your proper body weight. And, I mean, this person, Dr. Phil, who, by the way, was adamant that, oh, she's been told she looks great, and Piers Morgan's wrong, and all this stuff. He himself said, you know, is the question, is she at risk for diabetes? Is she at risk for, you know, like 19 different horrible health
Thank
things?
Thank you for that.
And it's like, yes, of course she is. Well, yeah, that's not good. You don't want people. I mean, that's one of the biggest problems in America.
Get you outside.
Is obesity. It's not self-esteem. Is self-esteem a big problem in America? Don't we love ourselves too much?
No. Self-esteem is not a problem.
We're pretty carried away with ourselves.
She responded,
I would say,
to some of the haters.
Okay.
Everyone's saying I'm a burden to the British healthcare system. I'm American, so you don't have to worry about my fat ass. Worry about what horrible people you are by whining about me being on the cover of a glossy magazine impacts your small-minded life. Why don't you worry about whining about us not liking it?
You know, if it's okay for people to go to the newsstand and go, oh, well, because that's what people are doing when they see that. They're going, what? That's not what I'm used to seeing. I mean, Cosmopolitan, you will pull your eyes at the newsstand because there's always a beautiful girl there, frequently probably airbrushed a little bit, too.
Oh,
I mean, maybe a little too perfect. Yeah. And maybe that's not a great idea. Maybe they should look more normal. But I don't. That's a small category of obese. I think.
Do we dare read the article?
Is there an article in Cosmo?
Yeah.
I can't say I'm terribly interested. I think the cover says it all. She's a big. I don't know why is she a big fashion model. Is there that much call for huge people?
It opens with this. Tess Holliday is everything the fashion industry needs. She doesn't conform to the metaphorically and literally narrow standard of beauty that's been set by society. That's cool. She doesn't have to. I don't know why she needs to be on the cover of Cosmo. She's a role model for others who have felt excluded in this way, and she's downright honest.
Wait, everybody can't be a model.
No, everyone is a model.
Are we going to start putting shitty athletes in professional sports, by the way, to make them diverse
feel
and
better
fair
about
and
themselves?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, the way this is all going seems so crazy.
In the world
to me.
Of soccer, it's called the MLS. It's terrible. In a new interview for Cosmo's October 2018 issue, Tess tackled the tricky subject of mental health, revealing that until recently, she's been experiencing, quote, the worst mental health state of her life.
I get it.
So she's putting herself out there for people okay. to get.
I'm going to tell you something, and I guarantee this. If this chick loses 160 pounds, she's going to be on the cover of magazines going, look at me now!
Oh, hell yeah.
She's going to talk about how great she feels
yeah.
and how unhealthy she was and not how right everyone was, of course, but.
I remember very vividly driving in the car with Bowie, her two-year-old son, and I thought to myself, I wish I could just.
Her son is named Bowie.
Oh, that yeah. bums me out. Yeah.
I didn't think it could get any worse.
I wish I could just disappear. I wish I could vanish. It felt like the point, like I was causing everyone around me so much pain. What? I think this has to do more with her weight.
Yeah, I don't think.
More than her weight.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely.
More than just that. Look, there's a lot of fat, happy people.
Yeah, who don't have to be in the cover of Cosmopolitan, yeah. by the way.
That's the other thing, too. That's her job, so there's a lot tougher jobs that people struggle with.
Sure, yeah. Hard work.
If I were her, I'd stay the hell off Twitter. If she thinks Twitter's she's going to turn
Instagram
Twitter
too.
Around.
She had is
Twitter pounding on her or defending her?
Oh, both. She created the campaign F Your Beauty Standards out of frustration. I was angry and sad that people kept commenting on my picture saying, you're too fat to wear that, or cover up, no one wants to see that. And then one night I was lying in bed and I thought, fuck that. So I posted an image with four photographs of myself wearing things that fat women are told they cannot wear and encouraged others to do the same. Okay.
Oh.
Fine.
Well, good luck with it.
Fine. It's on social media. I'm
sorry. If you're an ugly person, you're not going to get people to think ugly is pretty. That's just not
Where's
going
the ugly
to
acceptance?
Yeah, I don't see that.
Like a normal-looking woman who's just hideously gross and ugly in the face.
These subjects really start to drive me insane. Like, who is driving this? I don't get what's going on here.
Well, Cosmopolitan is getting all of this publicity because yeah. of it, this real free publicity. So that's probably the motivation.
We're really
for
falling into the trap.
Something tells me that next week Cosmopolitan's going to have a hot chick on the cover.
Yeah, they'll be back.
I'm crazy saying that.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to become a habit.
Ready? I've had people say to me, shut up already with your diversity. You've already made it, but I'm not talking about me and my career. I'm talking about the ton of models out there who don't have the opportunity because they don't have 3 million followers on social media. Then why don't you give up your position on the cover of Cosmopolitan and give it to one of them?
I'd say this, but 3 million people are not going to follow a fat girl that takes pictures.
Well,
just not.
I guess she has a lot of followers.
Well, she's a high fashion whatever she is.
High fashion model.
Yeah, I don't know. They're not. Are people going to follow overweight young girls on Instagram? No, they're not. That's never going to change. Is it ever going to? Am I crazy?
It might be a select group who do.
She has 1.6 million followers.
Oh, there's the answer.
I'm sure there's lots of positive comments on her page.
If you look at Instagram and the biggest followings, you'll find the most attractive women, and I guarantee you will not find many women who are that big.
No.
I guarantee it.
What?
Here's a comment under one of
her. Oh, boy.
I'm sure her skin is close to its breaking point containing all that mass.
Jesus. That's on her Instagram page?
Yeah.
Yeah, boy.
Because she posted the picture.
I didn't post that. I just want people to know. Those aren't my words.
Oh, my God. Most of these.
Not that I don't wonder
that. Most of these are so negative.
I'll read them.
Well, see, it's hard. A lot of these are comments to other people.
Oh, back and forth about haters hating on haters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's great dial. At least they're having a conversation. Obesity is a real disease, and I hope you seek help. This cover says it's okay to be obese and unhealthy young girls out there. We complain about girls who are anorexic on the magazines, but we don't understand that we send the same message with this cover. I couldn't agree more with that.
Yeah. Well, when they start selling magazines with girls that size on the cover, then it'll change. People,
facts don't care about feelings. In America, the number one killer is heart disease, and the main reason that happens is because of obesity. This woman is clearly obese. Body positivity is just accepting people for being obese, which is wrong. You guys are all idiots for accepting this movement. Go ahead and be obese and see how your quality of life is crap, since it's harder to move around and how you have to have health issues in the future.
I think it's funny when people bring up health care that, look what she's doing to the cost of health.
That's one person.
But there are groups of people that make it very expensive to have health care. I mean, that's not terribly, it's not entirely inaccurate.
Yeah.
All right. So Zot Ford summer sales event full swing. And that means the hottest deals and lowest payments of the summer. Better still, Maz has returned from his umpteenth vacation. He's been back to work at least 12 or 13 work days in a row, and he is working hard in his part-time schedule at Zot Ford and Holly.
Bad news for Tom, though.
What?
He's not going to get that van.
The double murder suspect has been arrested, and the van is in custody, so there will be no five-day. He'll never make it through the 5 days.
He was arrested in Cincinnati at a library.
Yeah, and the car, wow. The Econoline was found in Toledo, so Maz missed a chance there. Yeah. Celebrate his return. You can lease a new 18 Ford Escape as low as $133 a month, or lease a new 18 Ford F-150 Super Cab 4x4 as low as $161 a month. But you better make it fast, because this all ends at the end of August, which is tomorrow.
Wow.
So sometimes they extend them a couple days. Finally, lease a new 18 Ford Explorer as low as $177 a month, plus they're offering 0% financing, cash rebates. Zot Ford's sensational summer sales event ends August 31st. So do all the ludicrously low payments. So you might want to, if you were thinking about trying to squeeze this in, you might either call and see if it's extended, or you might want to get over there on Friday. Surf their ridiculous deals, massive inventory, dealsinthed.com, and grab a couple of passes for Arts, Beats, and Eats. It's good for the whole weekend, for all the shows. Ben Folds on Sunday, 38 special on Friday.
Friday, yep.
Gin Blossoms Friday. Yep.
38 specials between Gin Blossoms and Everclear. Yeah. Are you guys going?
I want to go see the Gin Blossoms, actually. I think I will, because it's 5:30.
It's the second week of the D-stravaganza.
Wow. It's the summer of D.
Oh. D's not going to make it over there, because I thought maybe...
No, she is. She wanted if I was going, and I was like, oh, I guess I could get us some passes. We'll go. So, here we go.
Bentley's going. We're going to go see Everclear.
Are ya?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that'd be a good show. There's, by the way, there's multiple stages. We're going to talk to John Witz from Arts, Beats, and Eats.
The genius behind it all.
Yeah. They've got 200 acts. They've got all these stages. There's so much going on there. And, of course, we're at Mesa, which is outside of Arts, Beats, and Eats, but right nearby if you want to just pop over after the 7 p.m. After our 4 to 7, and Mesa's between 3rd and 4th Street in Royal Oak. On Main Street. Royal. Mm-hmm. So, let's see. Dr. Yaldo, you've been watching people with reading glasses. They put them on, see something up close. They take them off. They put them back on. They can't find them. Everybody knows somebody who's like, where are my reading glasses? I mean, honest to God. Reading glasses, regular glasses, contacts, a pain and unnecessary, because there are two ways to free yourself of this ancient technology and be better off without needing any of it ever again. Dr. Yaldo is Michigan's leading and most experienced eye surgeon. If you're 40 or less, custom LASIK can change your life, because nearly 100% of patients get 20/20 or better. And if you're 50 and beyond, multifocal lens implants are amazing. Read the tiniest print, see everything with precision, and never get cataracts. Nothing to fear. The surgeries take minutes. They're painless. My sister's getting the multifocal lenses in a few weeks, and she is way psyched. Get a free evaluation. Call 800-398-EYES, 800-398-EYES.
Wait, which sister?
Nancy.
Patty!
I mean, Patty.
It sounded like he corrected you there.
It did.
Patty!
You know, so funny. I heard him at the end of the Gin Blossom song yesterday. It was so funny. I just laughed out loud when I heard that. And I couldn't. I was like, who is that? I don't know why it didn't jump out right next to me. Right
on my own. Why did it end this way?
That was artistic.
Hall Financial is a big supporter of our podcast. And, of course, the hotline will be open soon for John, and Eli will be in. And the best place to get your mortgage if you're buying a home, considering a refi, or want to take some cash out of your home, or anything to do with a home loan, contact David Hall and Hall Financial. Click the logo on the Drew and Mike podcast webpage and fill out the online form. There's no obligation. Remember, go to the website, click the link to Hall Financial for a link just for you guys, or call 248-308-5000. Make sure you tell them Drew and Mike sent you. Big reasons to call or click today: home improvements, shorten the term of your loan, or if you want to buy a new home with little money down, Dave and his team have all the programs you're looking for. Restrictions apply. Michigan licensed broker lender, NMLS number 1467435.
Whoa! Yeah.
Why isn't he at Aretha's funeral?
Yeah, he should be. And he should be at Arts, Beats, and Eats.
Yeah,
you think
definitely.
He'd be showing up with Patty? I think Patty would be singing at this funeral.
Is she not?
Well,
she not
I don't think performing. She is. Not that I know of.
She was mistaken for Aretha, so she should show right, by that BET. Logic.
I know we talked about Fantasia is performing.
Why is Fantasia? How does she make the cut? Doesn't it seem like she wouldn't make the cut?
I wouldn't think so.
She must have volunteered early.
Did she do a song with Aretha that we don't know about, like a gospel song?
I don't know.
No one's heard of Fantasia for how long?
Since that reality
Since
show?
Since the end of...
No. Oh. 10 years ago at the All-Star Game.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, Fantasia.
That guy still has not called us back?
No, he hates us.
She did a...
It could have been the message.
He absolutely hates us.
She did a tribute for Aretha at one time, I guess, on something.
Oh, she did.
Up, yeah.
Speaking of people that we have trouble...
No, go ahead.
Well, people we have trouble getting in contact with. Somebody sent me Andy Dick, who did something on Periscope.
Yeah.
And it is so disjointed. He's... First of all, they're spending... It's sort of like when we go on Facebook and we're not on the air yet, but it was just really hard to follow. He's on camera. He's off camera. The camera's pointing the wrong way. There's a trumpet guy playing. There's a guitar guy playing. They're talking about what they're going to do. It's just really hard to watch. And I'm like, this thing is 15 minutes in. Plus, it keeps pausing because it's lagging.
Oh, sounds like a great one.
I'm like, how could anything from this guy who is so funny... It's like he's, yeah. I don't know if he's trying to do too much. He's got a band in there.
Yeah, he could maybe stand to edit something together and then put it out.
Does he have the attention span for that, though?
No.
Maybe not.
Charlie is on a Housewives show.
Yeah, they've been talking about this.
Sheen? Yeah.
The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I've watched you on television. You're a real beauty.
It seems like there's a holdout
here. That's how bad he needs money.
I think they're paying him a lot of money to do this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I know. I thought the same thing. But, you know, we've talked about this. Those people who are used to making these huge sums of money for movies, there's so many of them now. It's like the yeah. music business. I mean, the Gin Blossoms, reading about what it took to sell records. I mean, you don't sell any records. And he was talking in a record ago that, oh, man, if we can sell 30,000 of these, they're selling them themselves. Mm-hmm. There's not a record company anymore. So they make all the money, and it's like, yeah, it's probably worth it.
I can't remember. Sure. I can't remember who Julie and I were talking about. We were talking about somebody this morning from, I think, the early 80s celebrity. Maybe it was late 70s. And I'm like, yeah, that's back when there were actually celebrities because there were only so many TV stations. You had your musicians. Now everybody puts out a song. Everybody has a YouTube channel. There's too many famous people, quote unquote. You know, you have that Logan Paul's boxing somebody for some reason.
Oh, why?
Just, like, there's just all this noise of these quote-unquote celebrities. It's a little
not celebrities.
Exhausting.
It's hard for the ones that were formerly big to even have a place.
Yeah, yeah. But musicians, talking to Robin Willis?
Wilson.
I keep wanting to say Williams.
Mr. Wilson.
They kind of have it made in a way that they can just still tour off those albums
yeah.
and actually make a lot of money. But I wouldn't
want
to. Damn,
that's a tough life.
It's a tough life, but I wouldn't want to start in the music industry now.
No.
Hell no.
Taylor Swift, you're not making any money. That's what he said anyway, right?
And what's a real hit? What is a hit yeah. now? I guess something that gets airplay?
Millions of views on YouTube. It's nice of Taylor Swift, by the way, to have a moment of silence for Aretha. It's the Ford Field.
Aw.
Fake! It was a fake Trudy. Which, of course, during the moment of silence, the only thing that was heard was, "We love you, Taylor!"
Oh, my God.
The moment of silence for Aretha.
It's always so stupid.
About Taylor Swift.
Well, I would imagine Taylor Swift, if she's the biggest selling artist and she sold 2 million copies, and I don't even know how she sold 2 million copies, she probably does make more money playing Ford Field than
oh,
she makes off
hell yeah.
you know, half of those copies.
Hell yeah.
So it's funny. The excuse for Sean Fanning's, what was the?
Napster.
That, oh, they make all their money touring anyway. It's come true. They've made it come true.
Yeah, they make most of their money touring. But why, still, you have to have something to tour on that people know.
Yeah. Why aren't people busting Spotify's balls and asking them to pay people?
I don't know.
Isn't that strange that they get away with that?
Wasn't it Taylor Swift that tried fighting that and then, you know, figured it was a losing battle and ended up putting her music on there anyway?
Well, just like Pearl Jam and Ticketmaster.
Yeah, you can't fight the man. The man always wins.
Seems like you can't.
Hi. Brandon's here.
That's because everybody wants an easy way to get tickets. They don't want to screw with anything. And those services are there. And you remember their name.
Is John calling us or are we calling him?
He's calling us.
Oh, okay.
How much pressure do you think he's under right now?
Oh, a lot. He's putting out fires today.
But he'll be completely collected.
I know there's no more hated idea than Brandon's music, but it was nice to have that transitional music.
Yes. John also does the Winterfest thing in Detroit.
He does.
And he does Riverfest, too.
Yeah.
Well, he sounds like he's Mr. Fest.
He is. He's a very festive person.
He's a production person. Yeah. Like a production guy, you know?
Yes, he totally
production
is.
Production company.
I first met him, though, when we were doing events at the Palace. Boxing nights. That's
he does those, too?
First time. Yeah, he was arranging those back then.
Wow. Could he put together the Righteous Rick versus Rectal Randy fight?
Oh, my God. He
probably could.
Isn't that what Rick called him? Rectal Randy?
Right.
And he could put together
Rick versus Rectal Randy.
I think that's beneath John Witts, to be honest.
Could he put together the badminton match between you and Maz, Trudy? I cannot wait for that.
Yeah, we can. If we had enough of those things, maybe we could have somebody would help us.
Have Team Trudy and Team Tom shirts.
Yeah, that
I like that.
That's dumb enough to be.
It could be so
I could
stupid,
actually get
Drew.
Excited to root for somebody in that.
Yeah, it could be so dumb. I want to do it.
I just have a feeling Trudy would. You might crush Maz.
Oh really?
You play badminton at all?
What
is that? Is Maz, how athletic is Maz?
That's
I don't
why
know.
This came up because
is he like Maz and Chris Farley, athletic but big.
Only in badminton.
Yeah, he.
That's what he claimed. That's why this came up.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, that. Yeah.
I don't know. I have to practice up because this weekend in our neighborhood they're having volleyball or kickball. So somebody put on Facebook, come on down for volleyball or kickball if you want to this weekend.
Will you play and be overly aggressive like in a neighborhood game and just try to dominate?
Well, I don't know. There's some good people, some really? Pretty athletic people in our neighborhood. So I don't know if I could dominate.
Jeez, I didn't know you lived in the Athletes Village.
Yeah, where are you living?
I've loved sports all of my life.
Arts, Beats, and Eats all weekend, by the way. It starts Friday, and it goes through Monday, and I think it ends a little bit earlier Monday, and maybe, yeah, it goes late Sunday, too, because everybody's Monday off. And then there's the Jazz Festival, too, which is Labor Day weekend, from Detroit River to Campus Martius. And there's a big lineup. I mean, there's so much going on. Michigan football starts. Michigan State starts Friday night.
As I want to do, I've totally flipped on this Michigan-Notre Dame game. I think they're going to get killed now.
Really? Is that just paranoia?
I don't know. I really that's what's great about college football. You have no idea. There's no preseason, really.
It is really weird.
You're just based off of whatever stories leak out.
Does Brandon know John's calling? Oh, I should check my phone.
Her fame, raise her golden blue and cheer with voices true, rah, 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 for Notre Dame. Na, 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 na. We will fight in every game, strong of heart and true to her name, and we'll never forget her, for we'll cheer her ever onward for Notre Dame. Na, 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 na. Cheer, cheer, our old Notre Dame. Wake up the echoes cheering her name. Sound the volley, cheer on high. Shake down the thunder from the sky. What though the odds be great or small, old Notre Dame will win overall, while her loyal sons are marching onward to victory.
I never realized how dumb fight songs were until I heard the fight song turd.
They are so
dumb.
They are incredibly
dumb. Brought it to home.
Even Michigan's is kind of silly.
They're all silly. I mean, they're just written a long time ago. They just don't sound very...
Yeah, I wonder what the newest fight song is.
Oh,
that's a good question.
Google search.
And how, like, if it sounds cool.
Well, it couldn't sound much less cool. I was looking at the national championship betting lines, and I think did I not bring that in here? Michigan was 7-1, I think.
Really?
Which is pretty good.
Yeah.
But you're right. Preseason, all the...
Their odds are always good because people will put money on them.
Those hypey kind of articles about, you know, this team's going to be so good. I mean, everyone's going to be good, according to all the preseason stuff. Although, you know, Michigan's got a badass defense. They finally have a quarterback. They could be interesting. There's no doubt about it.
Aren't all their tough games on the road, though?
Yeah.
Penn State
got
at home.
Three really tough games on the road.
Yeah, tough games
they
total.
They might win one. I don't know. I don't think they'll beat Ohio State. I don't even think they'll beat Michigan State.
Probably not. They probably won't beat it. They probably won't win any of them. They'll be 8-5 again.
I don't think they'll be sweet. I think they'll be 10-3 at the worst. 10-3 would be pretty good against that schedule, really. I mean, it's the toughest schedule. What's wrong with 10-3?
No, I'd be happy with 10-3. But it's just.
I don't know if it's going to win a division.
I'm kind of exhausted by it now.
I know it is kind of wearying.
I'm exhausted by college football in general.
The expectations are so high. When Virginia Tech started losing four games a year, it was like, season's over. Like the fifth week, you're like, they're not going anywhere.
Virginia Tech, tremendous school.
I think you just have to like watching the games. And I do. So, you know, we haven't mentioned that Neil Young got married to Daryl Hannah.
Really?
Isn't that weird?
I had no idea.
I didn't even know she was his girlfriend.
Well, they've been dating for a while.
4 years, yeah.
Yeah.
She must be the girl that Crosby insulted.
Uh-huh.
That because he insulted Crosby or Neil Young's girlfriend with some off-mic comment, I guess, at the end of a podcast, I think it was.
Right. Oh,
and
my
so
God.
Neil said, that's it. I'm done with Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. I'm on my own.
Yeah.
So Stills and Nash are furious at Crosby, and Nash won't stop ragging on Crosby. Just what a bad guy he is. I don't know. It's weird.
She's kind of a weird person, which is not to rag on her, Neil, so don't get upset. Which she seems like
we're
she's
done with Neil.
She's perfect for him because she's sort of odd herself. They said when she was a little kid, she didn't talk for a really long time. They thought maybe she was autistic.
Oh, he has an autistic son, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Or handicapped son?
Handicapped son.
Because he's into the train thing because his kid was into train.
Doesn't he have to do the bridge school?
Yeah. He has a big charity thing, and a lot of big artists have performed that. Does she look big in that picture?
Oh, yeah, she does.
Daryl Hannah, ouch, that hurts.
I never thought she was that hot. I don't know.
Really?
On Splash?
She was hot in Splash.
I thought she was hot for a really short time, and I got over it, and then I started thinking she wasn't very hot. I don't know.
She dated JFK Jr.
She did, and he beat up Jackson Brown because Jackson Brown. Remember that whole thing?
That's right, that's
right. Isn't that what she's best known for?
Besides Splash.
Because JFK Jr. came to her rescue.
Him and her got it on. Woo-wee!
They did. JFK Jr. was her ex-boyfriend. She was with Jackson Brown, and then something happened. And if the idea of Jackson Brown hitting anyone or abusing anyone seems so out of...
Well, wasn't he abused in his...
Jackson Brown?
Yeah, wasn't he married to someone? Who was he married to in the 70s?
Someone abused Jackson
someone
Brown.
Beat him up?
I could see a chick beating him up.
Didn't a male musical artist, get beat up?
By his wife? Lionel Richie?
No, it wasn't Lionel. Yes, he did.
Lionel Richie and Jackson
Brown.
He was
a white guy.
Easily confused.
True.
They're like Charles and Gary Delabate. They look so much alike.
She was in Kill Bill, though. That was kind of the last time I saw her in movies, was back then.
Good computer over there.
Well, just keep...
That
keep
hum
me
is
down.
Really annoying, I got to say. It's finally reached the point where
computer
it bothered me during the show. But she looks like... I never saw her look big before. She's 58.
You know?
Yeah. Look at my life.
She's packed on some
24 and there's so much more. Live alone in a paradise that makes me.
She actually has a couple of movies coming out.
Does she?
Yeah. I've lost
such a car. Better be Splash 2.
I want to see that.
What movie could she have coming out that you'd want to see? I'll Kill Bill 2 or 3 or 4, whatever.
Vampires of Hollywood.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, you're going to be a vampire if you.
Johnny Depp in that one?
Make some money.
Yeah, isn't that Johnny Depp's movie or band
name?
It's
his own being a vampire.
Look at my life. You.
It's Hollywood. Yeah, you're right. Someone to love me the
whole day through. Did you see Slash fighting with his ex?
No.
Oh, my God. This story is so stupid. We're waiting for John, and Eli should be coming down here any minute.
Yeah, right now.
slashes divorce.
I believe he's coming in now.
I believe you're correct about that. So where's John? Where's Johnny Witz?
Must be a lot of fires to put out.
Hmm. You know what? Let me. His phone number, too.
All right. Heroes coming. Eli's coming. Can someone please email me and tell me who I'm thinking of that got beat up by their famous wife? Famous singer that got beat up by their famous wife in the
70s? Just Google it.
I am, but I can't find it. And it's not Jackson Brown.
Do you remember Eli?
He's going to say Lionel Richie.
Oh, here's the 8 famous men who got beat up by their women. This should be a good list.
Cool.
Oh, cool.
God, it's a list for everything.
All right. Let's take
a look. I like that Three Dog Night song. I hadn't heard it in so long.
I know. Don't they sound good when you don't hear them 100 times a day?
Yeah. Eli's podcast is available on SoundCloud.
Eli
Zarrett. No filter. And today, he recorded with none other than Denny McLain.
Whoa.
25 years since we did our last show together.
Really?
Eli did, actually ended in 1994 when he went up the river for the second time.
Wow.
I did it with him today. I said, look, a lot of people have been, you know, multiple offenders, been in jail 4, 5, 6 times. It's only twice for you.
Did he, like, instruct?
Does he make a joke about that? Does he laugh at that?
He doesn't find it too funny anymore, no.
Oh, he doesn't, okay. No.
He didn't do, like pitching practice in the exercise yard or anything like that?
I think the first time around, he...
He did help?
He did. He did coach the team in Florida when he was in prison there.
Oh, like OJ?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
OJ coached the softball team. We won the championship. Have the most murder still.
Wait, you know, I don't think I've talked to Denny or heard much. He lost a shit ton of weight, didn't he?
Yeah, when I saw him today, I said, you know, it looks like you're eating pretty well these days. A lot of it seems to have been packed back on.
Really?
He did lose half of himself at first. He went from, I think, 380 to 190 when he had the bariatric surgery.
So how much is back on?
Half back on, maybe back to, maybe it's 280 now.
280.
280? I'd say so, really? 270, 280.
So he's looking kind of like his old self.
He looks like Tess Holliday. He should be on the cover of Cosmo.
He has no right to be alive. He's 74 years old, never exercised after baseball.
What's up with that?
Some guys, stay in great shape, lose weight, become triathletes, and others just...
I would just think he'd have an inkling to, do something.
You know, back in his day, I don't think pitchers really worked out much anyway, did they?
Maybe not, but he was, he had that high leg kick. He was very athletic.
He was. He just, as soon as he got a baseball, he just fell apart. But back then, a lot of
guys... The man who has the ball, I'm the man who can throw it faster than fuck.
Did he play basketball or anything? Or was he just baseball?
No, just baseball. He started early. I mean, he was in the major leagues at 19.
Yeah.
He was a pilot.
Right. 50 years ago.
Anybody's a pilot. Anybody
he played
a pilot.
Keyboard.
50 years ago.
Oh. He did play keyboard.
This week, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and the caption was, Denny McLain in antic pursuit of 30 wins. But he was flying to Las Vegas and playing the Hammond organ and going on the Ed Sullivan Show all during the season. He claims he had permission for leaving all the time, but he flew his plane and he pitched the first game of a doubleheader and leave.
I always thought the craziest thing was he had to work in the offseason. A lot of those players had to work in the offseason.
Yeah, I think he made as much in the offseason. Well, when he won 31 games in 68, guess what his salary was?
Oh, was it $55,000?
30.
Oh, 30.
Wow. 30.
So he went in the next year.
He had won 20 games before that.
He won 20 in 66.
He made that much money in 5 seconds.
Then he won 17 in 67. He had the thing at the end of the season where he
stumbled
or had his toes broken by Jack Aloney. I'm not sure what. And actually, going into 1968, he was the fourth starter. He was behind Sparma, Wilson, and Lolich because they tried to trade him in the offseason after 67. And then the season started late because of Martin Luther King's death in early April. And he just started winning.
The season started late because of King's death. I completely forgot about that.
Well, and at this time in 68, while they're winning all these games, he says, we don't know what the hell's going on. They were beating the shit out of people at the at the convention. This is the when the Democratic convention was happening.
Oh, yeah.
68 was a wacky year.
God, that was crazy.
30,000 in 1968 is 218,000 today.
Isn't that something?
God, the league minimum today is $545,000.
Wow.
So he went in after that year, said, I want $100,000 because that's what, you know, Mays made and Mantle made and
Banks.
Banks and K-Line was, K-Line turned down 100 that year. He took 94 instead.
And he hated K-Line for that.
They all hated K-Line for that.
K-Line didn't cash in.
Because that just keeps the, you know, the ceiling low for everybody else. They all resented that.
Yeah. Let me ask you something, and Trudy, you might feel the same way. I feel like the 50-year anniversary of 1968 is not being... I thought this year would be seeing stuff about 68 all year. And I feel like I'm not seeing it. I saw
on
specials.
CNN,
I saw a couple things on CNN that were really good.
CNN and the old man show, CBS Sunday Morning.
Well, why would CNN care that much? Around here, it should be more, but what are the newspapers?
I just mean 68 for Dr. King, for Robert Kennedy, for...
National
Convention. CNN did a four-part series, four hours on it.
I guess I thought
they've also
more.
Done 4 hours on the 2000s.
Right.
That's true. That's a whole decade.
I can't remember.
And on the Patty Hearst thing, and which was great, by the way. That was a cool story.
Are you saying they should have done more on the Tigers or on the whole the year 68?
I just thought the year 68 was such a fascinating year.
It was a great year.
A ton of stuff.
There's so
on
much.
68.
And every car.
The White Album.
Oh, and every car produced in 1968 was awesome.
True. Yeah, there was a lot of interesting things in 68. And the convention especially. I just thought there'd be a ton on that.
Right, right. You had the convention with the whole Vietnam War and LBJ not running again and incumbent president.
It was a crazy year.
Crazy.
Yeah. So what did you and Denny talk about on your podcast?
Well, you know, one thing, we had Lynn Henning on. He was in New York for the Tigers-Yankees, and the first thing he said was, what the hell are you doing for that? You know, by the way,
well, it is the Yankees.
I mean, I looked up and said, the Tigers are 31.5 games behind the Yankees. It's because Chris McCoskey, who was the beat writer, asked him to do him a favor, is why. Oh. But I guess Henning's going to speak at the celebration next weekend. He said he was 16 years old in 68, and it was the greatest summer of his life because those guys won coming off the riots in 67.
What is the celebration? At the park, you mean?
Yeah, they got three nights of it. And I guess there's only a dozen guys left that can actually walk onto the field that are either dead or are still alive.
That's about how many people will be in the crowd.
I know. Will they have a crowd for those three nights?
I don't know. But, you know,
is Denny invited?
Yeah, he's invited.
Oh, he is. Is he going?
Oh, he's going. Really? He's going. The thing I said to Henning was,
a good joke.
I said, you know, look at these Tigers here. You know, they claim they're rebuilding, but are they really rebuilding? How do we know that Chris Illich is going to spend the money like his dad did? Mike Illich was a sportsman. He just wanted to win. The money mattered, but he was going to spend whatever it took. I don't think what's left in that organization really cares that much about the Tigers. I think the family, and Chris is a good guy, smart guy.
They never liked the Tigers, though, didn't they? Wasn't it all Mike's thing?
It was all Mike's thing.
That was a great 10 years we had from 06 to 15. And what was wrong with that?
Nothing was wrong with that. That was great. They came very close. They could have easily won.
But we were in the race a lot of years, and it was exciting for the entire summer.
If you're a sports guy and say hockey is Chris's thing,
right,
you would still care about another sport that you're owned.
Hell yeah.
Well, they care about
it.
Why did
you ruin baseball?
It's a very tough sport. The whole organizational structure, it's very hard to win. And I just don't know if they got the heart to do it.
It's hard to win if you don't want to spend money.
Exactly. And who knows what's going to happen? Are they preparing it? But Henning had the company line that it's going to take he said 2 years, and then he said 5 years. Come on, these guys aren't ready.
Ten.
Yet. Will they
two
spend on free
years,
agents?
My ass. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
He's been asked multiple times, and he never makes commitment. He just says, we're committed to winning.
Yeah.
But he never says, yeah, we'll pony up. And by the way, when you cut the payroll down to what they're cutting it down, let's say they didn't have Cabrera and
be under 100, if that was the case, would have gotten down from 2 to 1.
Right.
They're at 120 now.
It's not that hard to have an $80, $90 million. But there's some bad teams that have payrolls that low. But in your attendance is going to drop from 3 million to what, 1.3, 4? Do you still make money? You make more money with that?
I think you do. I think you do. Because you get, right, you're talking about saving.
They were at 3 million people. You think they would have made a buck.
Did they actually get to 3 million?
They did once, I think once or twice, or they got real close. Yeah. They're well over 2.5, I know that, like 4 or 5 years in a row. I mean, they really had.
I know what the numbers are to say that you'll make more money with a $100 million payroll and finishing last than you will if you have a $200 million payroll.
But what's the point?
What's the point?
Do they really need money? This family really needs money.
Well, they bought it for $92 million. It's worth $1 billion right now.
I think they're okay. That's why I hate it when everybody says they have to trade this guy, because of money. It's like, well, it's not your money. They got enough money.
Or the guys on the radio say, well, I wouldn't spend that for him. Well, it's not your money. You're right.
Exactly.
You're right.
Who cares?
I feel bad for the fans, though. They go down there, and, you know, it's bottom of the ninth. I was down there one night. The bottom of the ninth, they got a chance to win, and Jim Adusi comes to the plate. I mean, he's a nice kid, but you know that's because J.B. Martinez isn't here anymore. You know, I think when they Denny said that when they got rid of Kinsler, it was all over. There was just there's just nobody left. But the fans keep coming, and the prices are the same. So I went a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, the prices are the same.
$97 a ticket. So I'm sitting there, four tickets, $97 a ticket plus everything else. And you say, is it? Really, for a AAA team? And so I said to Henning, are you there to see the September call-ups? Why does it matter? Toledo's already here. Toledo's on the field.
Eerie.
Right now.
The Eerie team.
What about the Red Wings? How long are the Red Wings fans going to show up for this crap team? Zetterberg looks like he may be out for the year.
Awful, yeah. The done period.
I don't know, Red Wings fans, are they that loyal? They'll just keep paying those prices and look at the.
I don't think
didn't look like it last year.
Empty last year. They're claiming they had better attendance for both teams. They're going, does anyone audit this stuff? Is that real? Because I saw pictures of the Pistons where it looked like a WNBA crowd, and their attendance is better than the Palace.
And they say, well, they're all out in the concourse. I say, I see. So you spend money to come to a Pistons game, and then you walk around the concourse all game long to eat, like you can't eat somewhere else.
I heard people actually say that, repeat that.
Yeah, that's the company line.
What?
I have never had nachos like I had at Pistons games anywhere else.
Trudy was the one person.
Trudy's in the concourse.
I'm willing to spend $100 for a ticket so I can go eat their $8 nachos.
Oh, boy.
They were awesome.
By the way, you're joking about the nachos, right?
Yeah.
With that little runny little queso they put on top.
Yeah, the liquid it pours out of a spigot.
Gross.
By the way. Drew, your dogs were just in a major battle.
They were?
Over Zuv's bag, where a sandwich was. They were.
Uh-oh.
Mags was just like furiously Mags trying to unfold the paper towel so that he could get to whatever was inside.
They are dogs.
Yeah.
Did they get it open?
No, I intercepted because I didn't want him to eat a paper towel and have to go to the vet.
Oh, cool.
Here's a stat for you, Drew. Here's a baseball stat for you. For the 10 years ago, there were 13,000 more hits than strikeouts. This year, the hits and the strikeouts will be equal in baseball.
You know,
that's the problem.
That is what's ruined it for me.
I was telling
you that, Brandon. I'm sick of watching ball walks and strikeouts.
200 pitches that aren't put in play in every game.
How many?
There's no action.
How many, as far as the hits, is the hit number the same and it's the strikeouts catching up to the hits, or the hits drop to reach the strikeouts
that
are coming
up? I think the hits are less because the overall batting average in the major leagues is .247.
They got to do something. It's too, especially some of the relief crews that come in, it's just, oh my God, I mean, this game is over.
Just reset the batting order every half inning.
It's crazy. In fact, I guess Jack Morris said that pretty soon you'll have the starter go 3 innings and then 6 relievers do an inning each. Check out this, okay? I did not know this. 68 World Series. They're down 3-2. Denny pitches game 6. I was kind of reviewing it a little bit.
It was the only good game he pitched.
Only good game he pitched. He got beat in the first one and the fourth one.
Bob Gibson.
So he's leading 12-0 in the third inning. There's a 2-hour rain delay, and Mayo Smith still sends him out, and he pitched a complete game. So I said, Mayo didn't think you could hold that your bullpen could hold a 12-0 lead. He said, no. Mayo said, I'm not comfortable. I want you to go back out there.
Wow.
What?
So he pitched a complete game with a 12-0 lead.
I wonder if that bothered his arm.
Well, his arm was dead by then anyway. It was ridiculous.
He's still pitching well. He pitched 124 games next year.
With taking cortisone shots, and he was done after that. In fact, one game in 66, he had threw 226 pitches. And in 68, there's another game where he threw 225.
There's a lot of guys that can say that, though, who did not get dead arms. Juan Marichal went 16 innings once. Louis Tiant went 16 innings, and I think Jim Maloney did, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, it's different. I guess you're I'm getting used to it.
I don't know. Yeah, that's. But he said you got to pitch. You got to pitch to get in pitching shape. But anyway.
All right. So
what are you looking at here?
We got to make the call. Well, John Witz is getting ready to call us from Arts Beats and Eats.
All right.
No, John.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Just play basketball with him.
How do you know everyone?
Brutal. He is brutal.
Hmm. Oh, brutal, really? Brutal
yeah.
player.
Yeah. Just tough inside. You know.
Oh, really?
Push. Oh, yeah. Very tough player.
Wow. That gives me newfound respect for John.
It extends to his business.
Good
too.
Player.
I've met tough John, and I never would have thought that he was a brutal basketball player.
Tell him you hear that he can really control the middle. Because
we're talking about the same John Witz.
John Witz. He knows Arts, Beats, and Eats, right?
Yeah.
Johnny okay. Witz.
God damn
tough
it.
Athlete.
Wow.
Did he pass the ball a lot?
He was good. He rebounded, and if you got near the hoop, you were in trouble.
Okay.
Passes it to the man.
By the way, happened to boom goes the dynamite.
And boom goes the dynamite.
How do you like that call, by the way, for a basketball game? Boom goes the dynamite for a long shot?
Makes no sense to me.
But would you use it now that it's become a thing?
No.
No.
Boom goes the dynamite. How stupid is that?
That is really stupid in that way.
Play Eli a little bit more of the call. Do we have the full call?
I mean, is a ball going through the hoop dynamite?
No, it's just a really bad sports
guy. Yeah, but splash. I mean, it's not going in water.
Let me see this. Oh, six.
Hello, everyone. Great. Well, the Ball State softball team continued to play this weekend, and they were hoping to continue off of their straight three out of four losses. And so we'll take a look and see how that happened.
Oh, God.
I wonder if Eli ever had a report like this.
They started off good, but then eventually the Ball State women's team shut down and ended up doing poorly. Oh, no. And
Oh, my
God. Today, Junior!
The Ladies Cardinals will play an Iowa tournament starting this
Friday. Who hired this kid?
Before the Ball State baseball team kicks off its conference season this weekend, the Cards will battle an in-state rival Indiana tomorrow. The Indiana Pacers are looking for a measure of revenge tonight against the New Jersey Nets and to strengthen their playoff hopes. The Nets won last Sunday's matchup 94-85, which left the Pacers one game behind the Chicago in the seventh
The Chicago.
Spot.
Yeah.
The highlights.
Ooh, the highlights.
Oh, this will be easy.
Oh, and then he looks down at his script before the camera goes off him. There's a rookie
Steven
mistake.
Steven Jackson's David.
Oh, poor kid.
I know. It hurts.
Brian Collins.
His name?
Reggie Miller's looking good. He shoots a three, and it's good.
Why do you talk that way?
Later, he gets the rebound, passes it to the man, shoots it. And boom goes the dynamite.
Passes it to the man.
The man.
The Pacers 63 kid. To the Nets 61.
So he's on here because it's just the worst sports report of all time.
Oh, yeah. It's got a lot of wax. Is he still in the business, Trudy, anyway?
Can't be.
Yeah, he's on ESPN.
Can't be.
Come on.
Yeah, well, no, they've cut so many salaries.
Can't be. Nobody's been on various shows explaining boom goes the dynamite at the moment.
Okay.
It was on with Hannah Storm and a couple other people.
Really?
Yeah.
That reminds me, remember the guy, I want to say it was out west, and they're just starting the newscast, and he just
oh, yeah,
like
he just said, fuck,
times.
Right. The first word out of his mouth was fuck, and he didn't realize they were on TV, and he was fired.
I love it. He was that. Fired the very day, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's fired the same day.
Oh, here we go. Can you pop me up?
Dreams in Motion organization has a fun time for the disabled. A deadly avalanche kills five in Colorado.
You're watching the Evening Sunday on NBC North Dakota News, your news leader in high definition.
Gay fucking shit.
Good evening, I'm Van Q. You may have seen our new AJ on NBC.
He's still swearing.
North Dakota News, and he'll be joining the weekend news team as my co-anchor.
It's his first day, that's right, I forgot about that.
Welcome.
It was his last day,
thanks,
too,
man.
Wasn't it?
I'm very excited. I graduated from West Virginia University, and I'm used to, from being from the East Coast.
I'm used to being from the East
okay,
Coast.
Okay, well, welcome aboard,
fire!
Thanks.
Go for it.
A fatal ATV crash happened yesterday in Williams County. Officials say Kevin George rolled with his ATV while
right
turning from Canal to 151st Street. George was thrown from his vehicle. He was not wearing a helmet and pronounced dead at Mercy Medical Hospital.
I love bad TV.
Runners participated in the London Marathon today,
okay.
Less
transition.
Than a week after the bombings.
That beginning is so athletes great, though.
Fucking shit.
You're watching the Evening Sunday on NBC North Dakota News, your news
That's
leader.
That's what you get for $12
definition.
An hour.
It sounds like Ted.
Fucking shit.
Good evening.
Why did he say gay?
He did. He said gay. Fucking shit.
North Dakota News.
All right, we got to get to What's the Call. Because that hoopster John Witz is calling in.
All right, yeah. Tell him that's why I don't play basketball anymore. He showed me I wasn't tough enough. Anyway, this is for us. So the score is Star Lincoln 9, the podcast 7 now. I think you got one last.
We did.
7, okay. So
we decided to pass on part 2 because we were so excited to
get
one.
And I think I gave you a really easy one, and I'm going to force you to that was a mercy question, so here's
quick,
for real. Okay?
Quick little update. That lady that was on that broadcast with that guy
is
now in New York City working for NY1. She's a reporter, so she's doing fine.
And Brian is in Kentucky, but behind the camera.
Cool.
Sorry.
Who is? The kid?
Goes the Dynamite guy.
He's behind the camera?
Behind the camera now.
It's better.
Making $12 an hour. Okay. Men on second and third, two out. Okay. Hit and run is on. The batter, it's a high chopper between short
and
third.
Hit and run with men on second and third?
Well, yeah. There's two out. Well, they're all going. They're like moving on the pitch. Okay.
This has ever
is it 3-2 count?
Does it matter? Okay.
That's kind of a weird. What if he walks?
Forget
and
it. Forget
just
it.
Throw the guy at the plate.
Forget it. Men on second and third. That's all. They take a normal lead. Regularly. Some of these things
are the hit and run. It didn't make sense.
Some of these are deceptive moves to kind of get you. It's like a magician trying to get you to look at
I shouldn't question the management.
No, you can. Okay. Men on second and third, two outs. The runners take off on the pitch. Batter, it's a high chopper between short and third. Now, the man on third easily scores shortly before the shortstop tags the runner, going from second to third for the third out, so the run scores. But seeing that the batter is slower than Victor Martinez, the shortstop throws to first in time to get him. Fortunately, that's the fourth out, and therefore doesn't count. Both managers, though, run from the dugout and bitch profusely. What is the call?
I'm going to say the run scores because he tagged a runner who was not in a force play for the third out, and the runner scored before he tagged the guy, so therefore the run counts.
But is there a trick to this? Do the read.
I think the throw to first
one more
is
time.
A red herring.
I think it's a red herring, too. I feel like there's a trick to this. This is way too easy.
Okay, here's the answer. This is an incredible rule.
Wait, you going to do the spot first?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Can I do let me do the spot
now
after.
I think we're wrong.
Can I do a second one?
Answer this one first. Okay.
The fourth out replaces the third.
What?
And prevents the run from counting since it is a force out. A force ultimately supersedes all lesser outs.
But there's three outs.
Prevents a run from scoring.
Bullshit.
That is the rule. It is not bullshit.
That's
bullshit.
Where's LT's bullshit?
That
I
might
want
be
LT
the
bullshit.
Dumbest rule I've ever heard in any sport.
I'm appalled. I want to leave. I want to retire from. I seriously. I just want to leave.
Only
alive
baseball
right now.
Would the inning not be over when it should be over.
It is not over.
Fourth only in this feature
replaces the third. I'll find the exact rule. Like it's going to be rule 7.23 in the
bullshit.
Baseball, but it's the rule. Okay.
Stan,
well, I'm sorry. I'll give you another chance
so
after
dumb.
I tell you that it's a great time to buy or lease a Lincoln during Lincoln's summer sales event. If you're coming off a Ford or Lincoln lease, save up to $5,000 at Star Lincoln. If you're on an A or an X plan, there are great savings in reserve package cars with great options like blind spot monitoring and navigation.
They should get their money back for this feature today.
As for the JT Power study calls it, most appealing vehicle of 2018, the highest score in 6 years. Now, all Drew and Mike listeners need to do is call Jimmy D for the particulars. He knows every car in the lot. He'll break it all down for you, tell you what's going fast, how he can line up the perfect MKZ sedan like Mark and I have, or an MKX SUV. Call Jimmy at 855-567-STAR. Email him at jimmyd@starlincoln.com. We love our MKZs. You'll feel the same. Call Jimmy D and get on the team. Okay.
I never want to hear you talk about soccer's extra time again. Because that's really extra. That's stoppage time for baseball. You can the third out is made, and you can make a fourth out.
Yes, you can.
I know.
And if you'll look it up, Brandon will look it up, and they'll say, fourth out in baseball.
Wow.
If you look up, is there such a thing as a fourth out in baseball?
Well, I know there
see.
Is because you can have four strikeouts in an inning because a guy can A guy can strike out and steal first.
Is that counted as an out?
Know.
Yeah, it is counted as an out.
Yeah, it's counted as a strikeout, but it's not counted
it
as an
bullshit.
Out.
I thought this was unusual also, but it is the rule.
Huh.
And I'm sure Brandon will find it before too long. Okay, here's your
bullshit.
Last chance. Okay. One out.
John Rutz is calling, by the way.
Is he?
In a second, so heads up, Brandon.
Okay. One out, hit and run is on. In fact, Witz will get these right when you won't, because he knows his stuff. One out, hit and run is on. Ooh. Pitcher pitches, runner pitches.
Hit and run his show. One out.
Yeah.
One out, hit and run is on. Runner takes off from first, but the batter foul tips it into the catcher's glove.
Bullshit.
But the runner doesn't stop on the foul and steals second. The manager of the defensive team races out and argues the obvious. You can't advance on a foul ball. What does the umpire decide? In other words, he swung, it tipped into the catcher's glove with less than two strikes.
That's an
the
out.
Guy steals second.
Okay, I'm going to go against my better judgment and say because the catcher caught it that were there two strikes or one strike?
One strike.
I'm just going to say this is against my better judgment. I'm going to say because the catcher caught it that he steals the base because I just know I'll be wrong if I say what's in my heart.
You're right. This is George Costanza.
It is.
The steal is legit. On a foul tip, the ball is live and in play as long as it was fouled directly into the catcher's mitt and he didn't drop it. Now, any foul tip that is caught is a strike and the ball is in play. If it's strike one or two, the runners can steal in advance as the ball is in play. Obviously, if it's strike three, it's a strikeout. So he's allowed to, I did not know that. He's allowed to steal on a foul tip, even if it's a strike, just like it would be a strike, as long as it's not the third strike.
I didn't think it'd be a good question if the answer wasn't that.
Well, you
seemed too obvious the other way. So
now on, go the opposite of what you think. Sometimes you get it right and then talk yourself out of it.
I know.
Yeah.
Wow. Is John Witz on the phone?
Wow, it's crazy.
Okay, bye.
Is Johnny Witz on the phone? Just say hi to Johnny Witz.
Say Dubs.
John?
What's up, everybody?
There he is. Eli was just telling us about your basketball prowess.
Admit it. Admit it.
It was way back in the day, Brandeis University. And you know what? I found out by, I forgot who told me, I think it was my brother texted to me, I was, this just for fun, I was a leader in steals for Brandeis in their basketball history and steals per game and overall steals in my career. And that was my claim to fame at Brandeis. Top five free throw percentage and free throws made. And so, yeah, you can look it up on like the 5,000th page of their website. You have to go to the school, then sports, then basketball, then ancient stuff that doesn't mean anything, and then basketball.
Well, when we played pickup ball a few years ago, I said you kicked ass. You were in the middle, and nobody could get past you. You were tough.
Yes. Well, Eli, I am so far from basketball. I've dived into hot yoga and spin classes now. So I would
spin classes.
Those days are long gone. Yes, I know.
Were you a skinny guard in college, and then you turned into a burly middleman, or what?
I was a 230 guy who played 1 through 4. So I was I was only 6'2" and a half, so I couldn't play too much in the middle, but I was all around the ends and tried to make up for my height with other attributes.
Well, now that I've found college basketball reference, I really want to know what years you played at Brandeis because I love looking stuff like this up.
Oh, sure. It is 1984 was I graduated. So it'd be 83-84 on the Brandeis site. I hope you find it.
I'd hate 8-17.
To get busted for embellishing my career on the Drew podcast.
No, I won't bust you publicly. Mark said you guys were. Who was the best team on their schedule, Mark?
I just saw the overall 8-17.
You've got to Brandeis.
Well, it's the internet. Were you 8-17?
Can I tell you our claim to fame, though?
Yeah.
So here's the claim to fame. We were trailing Harvard by 3 at halftime, and Harvard was ahead of Duke by 3 at halftime when Duke was ranked in the top 5 in the country. So at halftime, we were as good as Duke.
Hey, you got
in that one moment.
Those little victories.
Yes.
Well, did you win the game against Harvard?
Oh no, we lost by 19. Harvard lost by 25. I mean, it just was that time. It was that halftime that we did that. So anyway, but Eli, that is, you know, for a guy that's been working so hard this week, you know, for you to recognize
my basketball background. You know,
well, those pickup games, you were just unstoppable, and nobody would come into the middle because you just kicked the crap out of everybody, and you were burly, you were tough, and it shows. If you can play college ball, it doesn't matter what size college, you're better than a bunch of pickup jerks who never made the high school team. And
well, it was a lot of fun, and missed playing, and then I think the problem with my body is that I played way too much after college, and so now I find other things. And I recommend hot yoga for all the older guys that are on this podcast. I know there's a couple, but I just want to tell you hot yoga.
I'm thinking
it's really good.
I am thinking about yoga. A lot of people have recommended it. I don't know if Eli does it. I'll do it.
I do yoga.
You
do? It's hot enough without the hot yoga. I'm stuck. Like it's like 90 degrees in there, and these guys do it over 100 degrees. It's just brutal.
Yeah.
Well,
so I go to a place called Thrive Hot Yoga, and it's not a shameless plug because they're the most amazing people. It's right on Livernois in Troy.
Huh.
Thrive Hot Yoga.
Okay.
Hey, so John, Eli narked you out. What do you have to say about his basketball prowess?
So
he doesn't remember playing against me. I was such a non-entity.
Yeah, Eli was good for mid-range. He was good for mid-range. He had very few turnovers.
He's tenacious.
And he was tenacious E.
Uh-huh. All right. That label might stick. That sounds like a podcast name. So John, how Arts Beats and Eats, I'm sure you're running around today. What fires are you putting out? Is everything running smoothly, or
you guys really want to hear some behind the scenes fires?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay, I'm not sure I want to say them, but I mean, it has to do with people getting along as part of it.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
I mean, you know, there's a restaurant owner who's about to get into it with the electrical contractor whose car is parked in the wrong place and need to get called over. There are some port-a-johns that were put in front of another restaurant, which I have to go take a look at. There was one of my star female executives who does an amazing job was talked down to by a stage maker, by someone who was putting up a radio station scaffold. I mean, just, you know, ridiculous stuff that shouldn't happen. And it's all about people getting along and showing respect, you know, and I think...
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Yes. Isn't that perfect? Of course, the woman of music would remind, would put all that together so fast.
Yeah, brought it all together there.
Yes, but no, I mean, those are just some of the things that have just been in the last 15 minutes. But I mean, in you know, there's a lot of stuff. But I will say this, that with this beautiful day today, the setup has been really smooth and it looks amazing. And for the, you know, the 40 or 50 other fires that I'm not sharing, I am really excited about what people are going to see. And the, you know, just the layout of, you know, food and music and knowing the special things that are happening this year that are new and just seeing how this lays out. I think your listeners are going to love the crap out of this event this year.
Everybody loves it.
That's a quote.
Yeah. Love the crap out of it. That's great. 390.
It's our new slogan, by the way.
Love the crap out of this.
I think that's a good slogan. 390,000 people went last year, I think I read. There's like 200 musical acts, 9 stages. I mean, that's a month. That's like Woodstock. 390,000 people.
Yeah.
Not as many drugs, of course, but... That's, I mean, there's got to be a lot of stuff that happens. It seems like somebody would have a baby in that place at some point. Just like
we've
Woodstock.
Had a lot of marriage proposals, so we've had the general hopeful prerequisite of the baby delivery has occurred often. But it is true that we are all walks of life, and we are all walks of life in peace. I mean, this is like as near an incident-free festival, and I don't want or need to knock on wood or anything. We have just simply created an environment where people on the right, people on the left, people who represent different ethnicities, financial means, everyone hangs out and gets along at this event. And that is one of my favorite parts because the whole community is here. It's really diverse in nature and attendees, and it's a blast. And our music reflects that. With the array of music styles that we have, and our main stage that I was back channeling with Trudy on, you know, she's excited about Everclear and the vast variety of our bands, from AWOL Nation to Chris Jansen, Country Star to Rival Sons to the Gin Blossoms, 38 Special, Ben Folds, Eddie Money. I mean, it just, Matt Nathanson, it just doesn't stop. And we do the same thing with local bands. And the other exciting thing about music is we've seen some bands come through here, like Greta Van Fleet was just playing here 2 years ago, and now, you know, look where they are. And we've got a lot of locals that are aspiring to that and looking forward to the showcase. So the music is great, and it's just one of the many things people will experience this weekend.
Hey, you probably can't even answer this, but I'm always intrigued by this. Is there a band that you said, oh, I'd love to get such and such, and then you find out, you know, they're $1 million a show or something? Because you're negotiating with these bands, which has got to be pretty interesting, I would think.
Well, I will share some. I mean, you know, I got to be careful, but I will just say it. It's just so, my role in trying to book bands for the show is tough, because the concert promoters, they don't want to see us bringing in too big of bands and then only charge $3 and $5 to get in, which is what, you know, we're three before three, five before five. And we've got some bands, like we're spending $100,000. Oh, I shouldn't even say that on one of our bands.
Oops.
But, I mean, I'll break that on your show. I mean, it's AWOL Nation, and we're just excited, yeah, you know, to have them. But those types of captures for us, like we had 311 in that range last year, they're just really hard, because you just get the sense that the word is out, you know, if we start pecking around, you know, too high, that, you know, hey, no, those shows got to be playing at one of the venues where we're charging higher dollars and stuff. So, I mean, it is very hard to find, you know, to curate the national music for an event like this when you're not a concert promoter that, you know, it's difficult. We get it done, and we love the way our music's been, but I will just, if you want to comment on music, it is not easy. It is really tough, and we got to let some of the summer schedule take shape at DTE and Meadowbrook and Freedom Hill and other joints, and kind of work around, and it's not easy, but we've been getting it done, and I love this year's lineup.
Yeah, and you got all those other stages too. It's crazy how many bands are playing every kind of music, and everybody looks forward to it. And I know it's got to be a fantastic event for Royal Oak, and like you say, very few arrests. But also, you guys, I was told that you guys do a lot for charity too. There's a lot of charities that benefit from Arts Beats and Eats, which is just kind of the exclamation point.
Without question. So we have 50 to 60 nonprofits that are tied into beverage sales and our gate, when you enter, and our gate revenue on that. And then we do, so that'll raise in the $300,000 range. We've been averaging, it was $275,000 last year. We've been as high as $250,000, but definitely average over $300,000 since we've been to Royal Oak that have gone directly to nonprofits. And then in addition, we do some real cool community gigs, like Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, we do an event called Family Days for Children with Autism, which is sponsored by Delta Dental, and they provide parking and admission and lunch and free carnival rides for 2,400 kids with autism and family members over 3 days. And we open the festival an hour early, so that's not necessarily money being donated, but I have a son with autism. It's just beautiful to see the families together and having kind of a more quieter, peaceful experience and getting treated, and just the families and the siblings, in addition to the children with autism being treated, you know, to a special day. And we do a program with Kroger called Zero Hunger, Zero Waste, where we rescue food at the end of the night. And all of the restaurants, not only in the festival, but most in the downtown, are making two pans of food that Forgotten Harvest is collecting, and we're taking to Detroit shelters, which happens nightly, and then a big drop on Tuesday from the Royal Oak restaurant community. We had a program with Flagstar Bank where you can go to bank branches and bring cans of food for gleaners and get free admission to the festival. We try and use the power of this event to create good collaborative outcomes across a ton of areas. And it just has been just a blessing and a lot of fun to have fun and do some good. And it often gets, you know, unnoticed, except for on your show and a few others. But there's a lot of community wins out here.
Great. And I've had a blast. I mean, it was fun in Pontiac. It's even more fun in Royal Oak for me because I live so close. Royal Oak seems so perfect for Arts, Beats, and Eats. It's just been a great, great, great way to end the summer, the last, you know, three-day weekend anyway. And we want to thank you, too, for the great interviews we've gotten. And hopefully, I know you're promoting other events out there, too. If, you know, if those guys are talking or you want to promote those events, we'd love to have people who are playing at, what is it, Riverfest? And
oh, yeah, Winterfest.
Yeah, and Winter Blast. There's some hot news coming around Winter Blast in about a month and a half. We'll be breaking some really neat developments in Detroit with that show. So excited about that. But like you said, Royal Oak is a great place, and I know we didn't get to talk much about the art, but the art is amazing. Great works from artists around the country. And the food, just a couple of quick new ones. Narahashi Grill, Imperial, the food truck and restaurant in Ferndale. Eddie V's, the seafood place in Troy. And they join a host of amazing Royal Oak places like Cafe Muse, D'Amato's, Iron Horse, Le Feast, Lockhart's Barbecue. And my favorite, the Soaring Eagle Cuisine Machine, which comes from the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. And gives you like prime rib sandwiches for next to nothing. I mean, compared to what they normally cost, it's just a really tasty event, an event for all senses and all people in the community, and especially Trudy. You coming down, Trudy?
Yeah, hell yes, of course. I'm going to be there.
Trudy is
Friday and Saturday. Ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see Gin Blossoms and Everclear.
Probably, roll in for...
With 38 Special in between. And yes, Trudy doesn't age. And I have warned, she's bringing some girlfriends. And warned, she is so hot that I've actually warned the Royal Oak Fire Department to make sure that they have extinguishers waiting and ready.
Watch out for those girlfriends, too.
If you think the problems with Arts, Beats, and Eats are big, John, don't even think about the problems with D-Fest.
Yeah. We are going to destroy in a nice way.
Yeah, did I say something wrong, or was that okay? Am I going to
go? No, that's fine. Oh, that's
no.
Cool.
No.
You hit the nail on the head.
I was actually thinking, I don't want you to warn firefighters away from me, though, because they're pretty hot.
They are kind of, sometimes they're, I better not say that either. I've been saying so many wrong things today.
Oh, no, it's all good. It's all fun. And we'll see. I definitely want to get down there tomorrow for Gin Blossom. So maybe we'll see you over there with my friend Matt Riley. And congratulations again. Hope we get great weather. I know it'll be another great year for you, John.
Yeah, it's looking good. Some chances of stuff, but we're ready to make it happen. And Matt Riley and everybody in the city of Royal Oak, I mean, the city manager, the mayor, the commissioners, the DDA, I mean, they roll out the red carpet for all of Metro Detroit and come enjoy a great city. So thanks so much, guys, and Trudy, and good to talk to you, Eli. It's been a while.
Pleasure. Yes, you are relentless. And you're, Mark Beats and Eats and the basketball court.
Yeah, your single season steals record still is on top. 72 and 84. Yeah, 72 and 84 and 70 and 82 maybe. You had two seasons, the top two. But for your career, you're at 2.2 steals per game, and some jerk is at 2.3.
Oh, is he still playing? Maybe he can go down.
No, he played right after John. Oh.
What?
Yeah, Stanley House. Do you know Stanley House?
I don't know Stanley House, but he better not come in my house, man.
Yeah, steal something from him.
2.2 is a lot of steals.
It's a hell of a lot of steals.
Yeah, House was quicker than me.
I'll be examining these numbers further, John. We'll have a further discussion about your Brandeis career.
All right, when we talk about Winter Blast, we'll go into the free throw percentage. I think I mucked that up, too. So. All right.
Thanks a lot, John. Congratulations.
All right,
see you.
All right, John.
Thank you so much. All right. Bye.
They ate a lot of free throws. Career-wise.
2.2 steals.
Stanley Brick House.
That's
a lot of steals. 2.2 a game.
A lot of homers. Mm-hmm.
He's just a big body, and that's just all to remember is that you just didn't want to get near him because he just beat the crap out of you. He was a very relentless player.
He is 21st in rebounds.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
This guy ever score? He had the
ball
all the time.
Just from the free throw line. It's not like he paid off the refs.
He's a beautiful man.
Paid off the refs. He's always in the free throw line, but yet manages to steal on the other end of the court.
Well,
I'm out of here. I will find the rule for you in the rule book because I thought you would know what the fourth out was, but I'm going to show
it
to you.
I'm
still
the dumbest rule.
I can't even. I completely forgot about it. It so bothered me that When you tag the guy, the inning's over. What is the fourth? Forget it.
No, because yes,
I believe
that,
you.
Yeah, you'd think that that inning would be over, but no.
All that's right. A weird one.
What if there's
bullshit?
Oh, never mind.
Thank you, Stan. All right.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Eli. And Eli's podcast is No Filter. Denny McLean today.
Later, dude.
I want to hear that one. Well, I was reading, again, my favorite columnist, Christine Brennan, in USA Today. She's been on the show, and she's bitching out Tiger Woods because I thought this was really weird. I guess, let's see, I don't know which golf event this is, but...
Oh, is this about Trump?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, really?
He was asked about Trump, and because Tiger had been friends with Trump before he was president.
Yeah.
And Tiger said, well, I've known Donald for a number of years. We've played golf together. We had dinner together. I've known him pre-presidency.
They grabbed pussies together.
Chased whores.
And during his presidency. And then the person is obviously not happy about this.
Grab him by the pussy.
He then came back with, well, I think, especially 2018, you know, a lot of people, especially people of color, immigrants, feel threatened by him, by his policies. He's thrown himself to sports debates with the anthem. What do you say to people who find it interesting that you, I guess, have a friendly relationship with him? Which is really kind of saying that you're an asshole. And Tiger said, no matter who's in the office, you may dislike the personality of the politics, but we all respect the office. And then they asked him if he had anything to say about race relations, and he said, no, I just finished 72 holes, and I'm really hungry.
That's right. So, I just finished 72 holes,
and I'm really hungry. And, you know, it sounds to me like this was just sort of out of the blue. It wasn't like, okay, Tiger Woods is sitting down to talk about politics.
I'm laughing at the fact that we love it when our athletes don't talk about politics, and we hate it when they do, and we hate it when they don't.
Oh, boy.
Hate it when they're political, and we hate it when they're not political. So
I don't really hate what he said. I feel like I don't understand why he has to say something.
He said he hates it.
No, I think she hates opinion. I don't think most people hate what he said. I think most people just kind of go, Tiger never says anything about anything.
No, and that's his opinion.
Right.
His opinion anyway.
That's sort of his way, is he doesn't really
disagree with people
in the middle of... I think he's a guy that likes to be known for his golf. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think I really would think he would be an expert on the subject anyway. But by nature, he avoids controversy. And of course, he
just like Tom Brady.
He tries to avoid
not a bad golfer.
No, I would say Tom Brady's the same way. He made a mistake by having the Trump Make America Great hat.
Tiger Woods.
So he kind of threw himself in it. But I know Tom Brady, you know he regrets that. He didn't want to speak about Trump. No. He didn't want to say he liked Trump.
And Tiger said way more than Tom Brady did. So what does she say about this? What's her...
What's
her beef?
He hasn't done anything wrong.
She's just implying that he shouldn't be excluded, that...
she's a goofus.
That everyone talks about Trump, so why should Tiger Woods be excluded? The questions were appropriate and reasonable. Tiger's answers were harder to define. Basically, he said nothing. Words tumbled out of his mouth, but they were little more than pablum.
Yeah, so what's your point?
She doesn't like that. She thinks she wanted him to say Donald Trump sucks and he's terrible for black people and he's terrible for all people except white people, I guess.
Basically a disaster.
I mean,
no, like she's more upset that he just didn't make a definitive statement.
Oh, but you know what she wanted him to say.
No, I know, but that's an even weaker argument.
This is the chick who said, by the way, that some women's event was going to be ruined because Trump was going to attend, which I don't think he attended it, by the way.
Oh, that's right.
That was the LGBTQ. Yeah, he did.
He did attend. Okay. Seriously, Michelle, thought that what I got from her story there, and I really read it because she annoys me because she never writes about real sports. It's always about these other things.
That's right.
The thing that I really took out of our article was like, wait, Donald Trump is going to attend an LPGA event? Really? I couldn't believe that.
It's at his course.
Oh, is it Trump's course? Mm-hmm. The LPGA course? Really? I'm kind of surprised.
Maybe I'm wrong. I thought that's what the story was when he showed up at an event.
Maybe it was.
You know, I think she's losing the entire male audience and many of the women.
While you're on the subject of DJT, he didn't unblock Rosie yet. You know,
she'll be the last
one. By court order, he had to unblock all these people that he had blocked because it's a... public Twitter account. So
Rosie is a loser.
Unblocked all these people, and as of yesterday, Rosie was out there flaunting that he had not unblocked her yet.
Well, Rosie O'Donnell's disgusting. I mean, both inside and out.
You know, that's the mistake, inside is that she probably doesn't want to be unblocked now because it's more for her. He should have unblocked her first.
Right.
We're all a little chubby, but Rosie's just worse than most of us. Rosie is a very unattractive person.
I know I shouldn't laugh at this. I apologize to anybody who's upset about that, but just...
Why would anybody be upset about it?
You know.
He wasn't president
people,
then.
Because people are upset about things like that.
It was
her magazine called Rosie was a total disaster.
She had a magazine?
Yeah, it was a total disaster.
I was very happy when her talk show failed.
The word total disaster, it's got to be the favorite. I can't think of a word he said likes more than disaster.
Sad.
True, yeah. Sad, hashtag sad.
Yeah. Do you want to hear the Tiger quotes or?
I just read them. I mean, okay. I don't know. I just thought it was, I just feel like this is her column in USA Today Sports. I mean, it's a big column, and it's really, I don't know, I just feel like the sports section is becoming, I don't know what it's becoming anymore.
Well, maybe her editors make her do stuff like that because they don't like her.
Oh, I don't think anyone tells her what to do.
Really?
I don't think so. I could be wrong.
No boss? Yeah. Well.
It is, in a way, I had to acknowledge the other day, I was having a conversation about Michelle Beadle refusing to watch the NFL or college football, and she does the morning show on ESPN. And it was sort of put to me like, well, you got to admit, having women in sports has changed things. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's really different. I don't think it's something that I welcome in my sports coverage, someone who's not watching the sport I'm most interested in on Monday morning. But, yeah, change, sure. If that's good, I suppose. And I was amazed that she made $5 million a year, too. And
really?
And she's on a show that is suffering miserably in the ratings. And I was like, why is she paid $5 million a year?
Wow.
Whatever. Whatever.
Oh, my God.
No, I just finished 72 holes and really hungry.
Christine Brennan and Nancy Armour. I don't know who they're writing for. There must be people that love their work. I assume they're in USA Today, but I always find myself going, what the fuck?
I just finished 72 holes and really hungry.
Wow.
That's a great, I like that.
I don't remember that one.
No. I don't blame him for answering that. I mean, you want him to talk about race? He just got off the golf course. What the fuck?
Well,
he's hungry.
He did anyway. He talked about it for a while.
I just finished 72 holes and really hungry.
He smirks, too.
He smirked?
Yes. Yeah, when he said that, because he was just done. But he had talked for a while.
No.
And I'm not a big Tiger Williams fan or Tiger Woods fan either. It's funny. I find myself rooting for him now because he's older and he's not that good.
Well, yeah.
I mean, everybody roots for the old guy, don't you?
Plus, he had that massive fall from grace because of whores, and you want him to the American way.
Then I read the book
back
about him, though, and I'm like, oh, my God, he's an incredible asshole.
But he never had a childhood like Jackson.
That's true. That is true.
There's a party, by the way.
I know.
A big birthday party.
Yeah.
I love that they had a celebration for a birthday of a dead guy who didn't celebrate birthdays when he was alive. Michael Jackson.
Yeah, that was...
And who's 60 or would be. Not ever going to be 60, but...
That was very strange. I was thinking about that, the fact that he died in 2009. He wasn't even 51 yet.
Right, yeah.
But he really had done music in a while. And the fact that he seemed so cooked by then, isn't that weird? He wasn't even 51.
Yeah, well,
I mean, you look at a lot of these guys at 50, they're really, you know, they're working out and they're in great shape. And this guy's taking propofol or anything to go to sleep. And he's weighs 118 pounds or something. And
I wanted the public to know that I was okay,
Marlon,
even though I was hurting.
Hey, that's a father you're talking about.
Oh, that's right. Did you guys know he had a wig when he died, before he died?
Yeah.
I didn't. I thought that was his hair. I don't know why.
It is so fake looking.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of Elton John looking.
Yeah.
Like he went to Elton. Yes, they made it up.
I mean, he doesn't have straight hair naturally if you look at, you know, pictures of him.
Silly of me.
It was very glossy.
Yeah.
Thick.
Well, he's black. He was black.
Right.
Still
he used
is.
To be black.
So were his kids.
Was he?
He was black when he was 20. He was really, I mean, the difference, it is really weird. I mean, it sort of freaks me out. He is one of the most fascinating celebrities by a mile. When you look at him at 20 and then you look at him at 50, it's like, what? Yeah. What happened? Because he was a good-looking 20-year-old.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to get a room with him.
Geez.
I don't want to pull a Chris Watt with him or anything. And have something imprinted permanently on my brain.
Well, if you think he's so handsome, then why don't you marry him?
But you know, and when he first got his nose done, he was I think a lot of chicks thought he was hot.
Yeah.
No, seriously. If you think he's so handsome, go marry him.
I'm really shy. I'm embarrassed.
I mean, well, you'd think he would have been waking up around the time he died going, oh, my God, what the fuck did I do to myself? Oh, my God!
I'm in pain all the time.
But apparently he wanted to look like, I mean, that's the weirdest thing.
I think.
What the fuck? What the fuck I had to do to myself?
I'm hurting. I think that all started. I love being in the cave, though.
It's kind of fun, yeah.
Love you.
I think it all started when he had the Pepsi accident, yep, and it burned him. And
well, the painkiller started then.
Painkiller started. And then I think he just sort of lost the sense of himself, you know, and that's when he began doing repeat plastic surgeries.
Well, Joseph told him what a fat nose he had, I guess.
And didn't he also, wasn't...
I have a heart and I have feelings. I feel that when you do that to me. It's not nice. Don't do it.
That's what he said to Joe.
Do you believe...
Joe was very mean to him.
Very mean to me. Do you believe the thing about him, you know, his voice, his female hormone intake, because his voice, so his voice wouldn't change?
That Joseph made him take female hormones?
When Joseph died, that was one of the things that they claimed.
I don't know. I have never read that.
They made it up.
Oh, maybe it is.
I really hadn't heard. Have you guys heard that a lot or independently?
I never heard it until Joseph died. And then there were a bunch of, there's a big, you know, boom of. Well,
that
totally false.
That thing of him London, he was talking in a deeper voice. And Slash used to say, oh, yeah, you'd be in the studio and be like talking like this. And then you'd be on the phone and be like, hello, Slash, it's Michael. And so I kind of got the impression that was a fake voice or something.
Mm-hmm. The Thriller.
Can we
both say it?
The guy who's around recording studios all the time, there'd be audio if he talked like this or if he had a deeper voice.
Yeah, there's the one where he's sleeping. Where he's talking like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's weird.
That's so audio. Out of it.
Wait, so what was his birthday party? And you're right. I don't really remember him celebrating his birthday because supposedly Jehovah's Witnesses don't, and he
Happy
didn't.
Birthday to him. I don't care.
And I saw that there were celebrities at this birthday party. Were there big celebrities
there?
Yes,
Paris Jackson was there.
Oh, my God.
Prince Jackson, Ashley Simpson.
Happy birthday. Just look at you.
You know, I think you should cancel the event when Ashley Simpson's the biggest name you can.
Well, you know, she's got a new reality show coming out, so.
Oh, really?
It's all part of publicity.
Oh. What's her show?
I have no idea.
Honestly,
how does she even get on television?
That's a great question.
I only knew about it because Jessica's trying to worm her way in.
Wait, Jessica?
Oh, Jessica Simpson? What?
She hasn't
done
shit.
She can have her own show.
She doesn't need to worm her way in. She has a clothing line that is actually
very
successful.
She's a billionaire, isn't she?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Here's the story from People. Michael Jackson's daughter, Paris Jackson, and son, Prince Jackson, were together at Mandalay Bay in Vegas for a special celebration honoring what would have been the late singer's 60th birthday. Taking the stage at the event, dubbed the Michael Jackson Diamond Birthday Celebration, the two followed in their father's footsteps.
Diamond Birthday? Wait,
that's
diamond.
A great name.
Is that what 60 is, your diamond birthday?
I thought that was 50.
I don't know. I really don't really think of these things.
Who the hell knows that?
Do most people think about your diamond birthday?
No. The two followed their father in their father's footsteps by accepting the Elizabeth Taylor Legacy Award.
On his behalf.
For the Elizabeth Taylor AIDS Foundation. So it's just the thing to accept that award.
Just those two?
Just those two. They're the two that accepted it. Oh, yeah, okay. Where's Blanket?
Blanket. Oh, my beautiful Blanket.
Blanket, I love you, Blanket. Yes, yes, yes.
The award was presented to Paris and Prince by two very special people. Elizabeth Taylor's grandson, Quinn Tyvee.
I have no idea who that is.
And Diana Ross's son, Evan Ross.
Who cares? Wait, Diana Ross said, no thanks.
Yeah, I'm busy.
Who the fuck is that?
Is it Paris and Ashley Simpson and forget? Are you kidding?
Never heard of
them. How dare you take up 10 seconds of my life asking me?
Then they're probably like, oh, well, we'll ask your famous daughter, then Tracy Ellis Ross. And she's like, no, I'm famous.
I'm not
doing
that.
That shit.
Fuck you.
Still sleeping.
her son. I've never heard of her son.
No, I'm still sleeping, man.
It is an extreme privilege and an honor to be here accepting an award, not only for something my dad was so passionate about.
The guy who's dead.
But something he held so very near and dear to his heart, a foundation that he worked so hard to strive and make their goals that they're achieving right now, Prince told the crowd.
Why does Prince talk like that?
By the way, because
that's all he got his voice from his dad. Oh. The way my father liked to lead his life, he liked to lead by example, and he never thought that he was too big.
It's mandatory you have to do it.
I have to ask a dumb question.
Yeah.
Ooh, usually where it doesn't belong. In the most unlikely places when it's best. Like, Joseph was very mean to me. He just can't help himself.
Love you.
Is it hurting the AIDS business of fundraising, the fact that people don't really die of AIDS, do they? I mean, some do, but they're not treated. I mean, if you have AIDS and you have any resources, then it's not a big deal, is it?
Well, the government could have cured cancer, but, you know, it's too much money in it. That's a very famous conspiracy theory that QAnon likes.
People like that. That's been going on a long time. I've been hearing that for years. Doesn't that make AIDS a little less significant?
He's got AIDS.
Yeah.
Do people still wear AIDS ribbons everywhere?
No.
Doesn't seem like it.
Yeah.
No.
It's cured. It really is cured.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Pretty much.
For sure.
I mean, Charlie Sheen got over it in, 3 years?
Yeah. There was just a story out that had mentioned Freddie Mercury, and it said Freddie had died like a month before the miracle drug that everybody started taking.
Oh, yeah.
Figures.
Well, I thought we figured it out that it was Magic Johnson injecting, $500,000 into his bloodstream. That's how he
survived it.
So people were bummed because they thought if Freddie Mercury could have held out a little bit longer, he could have stayed alive.
Oh. Yeah, he was really. It sounded like, it wasn't even close. He was really just gone.
Is Freddie Mercury homosexual?
Did you guys see Detroit schools are shutting off drinking water?
Yeah.
Wow.
Good work.
They're going to bottled water, and it's all about infrastructure,
like
which
Flint.
Is so horrific that the water fails all the big tests. And by the way, I just found this out. Like, who knows how long this has been going on?
Jeez.
And
goodbye, fucking shit fuel.
The other day I read this story about, it's kind of sort of a long take, but it was about how the baby boomers have destroyed the world. And
that's
because.
What?
Yeah, that's a sort of a narrative now. I mean, along with the millennials who are killing everything, the baby boomers. We killed everything for the millennials before they had a chance to kill all the stuff.
Oh, boo hoo!
The good thing is Gen Xers don't care about anything.
Oh,
so
good.
We're cool with it.
If I was in Gen X, I'd be like, "Why does our generation just nobody cares?"
Oh, yeah, we're slackers. Nobody gives a shit. Yeah.
Anyway, the theory was that the baby boomers have so separated themselves into that group. That small group that has money and resources, and they spend all their money and resources, like all the hotshot lawyers from Yale and Harvard. They spend all their money getting pollution controls taken off and, you know, not allowing all these pollution control things to be passed, whether it's water, air, drinking water. And therefore, they've ruined everything. And they've also forced the government to spend money on things besides infrastructure when they should have been spending money. I mean, infrastructure is going, I don't know when, but it's going to be a big, big problem.
So we give zero F's for anybody who came behind us?
Pretty much. Yeah, it was all about us and protecting us and our business friends. And mm-hmm. I don't know. This whole idea that you're part of a generation really doesn't work for me. I mean, I think the baby boomers are kind of cool because they like the music people.
Sure. Yeah.
Call me shallow. But millennials are always like... Well, I think we're really, you know, and they'll describe themselves. Well, Brandon's a millennial. I shouldn't talk about this in front of him. Do you consider yourself part of the millennial group?
Not really. No, I've always hated that stigma because it's the same thing to me about, you know, I'm an Aries. That means every single Aries is having a bad day because, horoscopes told me to. Yeah.
Wow, you sunk the millennials to the point of being equivalent to a horoscope.
I did because
your team.
Everybody's going to be different in their own way. It's going to depend on how they were raised. Sure, we have things in common. We grow up with the same things. You know, I grew up with better video games than you did. But
it's like grouping all black people together.
Gen Z grew up with internet more prevalent than I did.
Do you get defensive, though, when people say millennials did this, millennials did that?
Not really. I mean, whatever.
Because I think a lot of millennials do. I think they get really mad. Like, we did not!
Well, yeah, you can tell, because they'll say, well, you guys ruined this. You know, we might have killed Applebee's, but you guys killed the climate. Baby boomers.
People that are alive for, you know, 70, 75 years killed the climate. I mean, that's a bit of a stretch.
People are in their 80s are killing Social Security.
I agree.
This is a generation that is willing to pay dues.
Those are baby boomers. Those are the greatest generation, aren't they?
The greatest generation really World aren't War those II. Before the yeah. baby boomers.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're the ones that had the baby boomers.
Yeah, they're the greatest generation.
Yeah.
That's their name. Ever. The greatest generation.
On average, how long is Gen Z's attention span? This is a very short 8 seconds.
They're gonna ruin everything.
But I remember when the greatest generation, when the feeling was that, you know, they were the stiffs and the counterculture was taking over from these stiffs. Yeah. And it was a stiff generation.
Oh, yeah.
They were like Bob Hope and
music sucked.
Oh, the music blew. Yeah, Frank Sinatra was the biggest stud. Engelbert Humperdinck, all these losers that had hit after hit. And then it all changed.
TV sucked.
You had me and then you lost me.
And then, of course, no baby boomers wanted to raise their kids like they were raised.
Yeah. So we gave
just give kids everything. Let them do anything.
That's what Gen Xers don't. Oh, I thought you were talking about. Didn't baby boomers have Gen Xers?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, and millennials.
Or don't care about anything.
Yeah. Millennials. Yeah. A lot of millennials. So, yeah, it is their fault. It's all their fault.
Well, your brick and mortar is actually doing better all of a sudden because the economy's better, so people are buying more.
Yeah.
And, you know, the ones that went out of business are out. And so it's helped some of the, like, Target and some other ones that are rebranding.
And a lot of companies, a lot of those brick and mortars have restructured certain things to fight off Amazon, to do things differently, different than Amazon.
I'm surprised how well the Targets and people like that are. I just thought, I don't know, I just seemed like it all was going to come tumbling down.
Well, Costco, so millennials can't be held to blame for that anymore. So,
well, they killed enough other stuff. I hope we'll probably see a lot of millennials on Saturday, by the way. I try not to. I think millennials are kind of cool.
Don't
like
pander. You hate them.
No, I don't hate them.
Oh.
I might have for a couple days.
Hey, did you?
You can't broad brush a group. It's so ridiculous. Although millennials
except for ethnic groups.
Yeah. Now you're on to something.
Or political groups.
Millennials what were they responding to? Oh, it was sort of a back
their
and forth.
Spokesman?
I don't know. They're all there. Every one of them.
David Hogg.
There was a back and forth of
he's Gen Z.
Z, right. Yeah. There's a back and forth between boomers and millennials. They're arguing on Twitter about which generation sucked more or had it worse.
That's what happens.
I was very amused reading it. And the millennials, their thing was that they have no chance. They're saddled with all this college debt. They're fucked for life. They'll never have any money. And I mean,
nice for you.
I understand the college debt, but I mean, time does erode certain things. I mean, how much? It doesn't cost $3 million to go to college.
Well, there was just that report today, though, that they compared basically college, going to college in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and being able to work your way through college. And they put all the numbers together now with how much the average college student makes, how much tuition is, and you really can't. You can't work yourself through college the way you used to be able to.
Well, a lot of people went to night school, and I think it was different. I mean, I didn't know people, but I know.
I'm going to speak on behalf of Generation X again. You boomers and you millennials just need to not give a fuck about anything.
Oh, yeah.
And just slack.
We already don't.
No, you guys are arguing with each other.
I like that Brandon took the millennial position there, though. That was kind of cool.
Oh, was that the position?
Yeah. That you are fucked, and that we weren't fucked.
I mean,
I was able to.
I worked my. I mean, I paid for all my schooling, so.
Well,
I'm not done yet.
These broad brushes, there's a zillion millennials. They're doing fantastic.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people who are left. Well, there's always people left behind.
Gen Z, born 1995 to 2012. And yet, for some reason, no one is paying attention to us.
I think we can all agree that's the worst generation.
Yeah.
I'm all over
Maybe
that.
That's the worst spokesman for a generation.
No, they're going to be the worst generation by far.
If they don't get their own office space. I seriously could not imagine.
35% of Gen Z would rather share socks than an office space.
Socks.
I can't imagine being like how old is he, 18 then?
Yeah.
And suggesting that he needs office space and his generation needs office space. This is so weird to me.
Did he ever do anything for the Vikings?
I don't know.
Did they get their money's worth, or did he just stand on the sidelines?
Should we call the Vikings office and ask for David Stillman? Or not David Stillman.
Remember, he wasn't showing up to meetings because he was Skyping from home.
Oh, God.
Should we call their the Gen Z office?
Oh, out in California?
Talk to mom again?
Well, he was really in demand then, I think.
He was.
Yeah, I don't know if he is as much now. Maybe.
Hey, when did we book her for? Didn't we
We didn't know. We didn't book it. We were trying to find out how far ahead he was booked, and we did learn that he wasn't booked like 2 weeks out. She was suggesting, we'll have to book you in October. And I think it was August. And then it turned out, oh, what do you know? There's a date. There's dates in early September. Surprise. But I do know somebody wrote me from Ford and said that they had to sit through a presentation from the Stillmans.
What?
Yes. They were forced to.
Insulting.
Yeah, it was about Gen Z, and I think this guy worked in marketing or something.
Yeah, this is how it started.
Please welcome Jonah Stillman.
Oh my God, I would have laughed the whole time.
It's so stupid. He did. He said it was mind.
Did they have a Q&A? If they had a Q&A, he could have asked about open office concepts and sharing socks and attention spans.
He had all the jokes, and I think
on average, how long is Gen Z's attention span? This is a very short 8 seconds.
That would have been very self-serving, though, because everybody else there would have been like, "Stop asking questions, so we can go."
Where does he get that fucking number? 8 seconds. What did he pull? Did he pull his nine buddies?
How can anyone who can only pay attention for 8 seconds succeed at anything?
Well, how do you find
out?
That
impossible.
How do you find out what the average is if you only pay attention for 8 seconds?
True.
But then again, they have that open office concept, so distracting.
Matt Damon finally came to the rescue of Ben Affleck.
Oh, did he?
I thought they broke up.
They are friends.
Matt Damon.
No, I don't think they're always together.
I swear I read a story.
What did Matt Damon say?
This was from CBS, or let's see, this was from Good Morning America, and they basically went into a long-winded story recap about Ben's alcohol trouble and his previous alcohol brushes.
Right.
And showed a lot of pictures of him and Matt together and didn't explain what Matt did, just that he's standing by him.
I'm so happy I have you as my best friend.
Trying to help him. Yeah.
It's funny how these people, when you get linked with someone, how you're sort of responsible for saying something or having some position. I mean, Matt Damon has, I think he's got 4 kids. He's married. He doesn't, I don't even know if he lives in the States. Wasn't he moving out of the States or something?
Matt Damon?
I thought I read he was moving to Australia or something.
Oh, he goes to Australia a lot on vacation or something.
And it just didn't seem like they've been best friends or really linked in a long time, yet, in our heads, I link them.
Well, according to Radar Online,
no, it's ridiculous.
Matt Damon dumped best friend Ben Affleck.
He broke up with him?
Yeah.
Wow.
When did that happen?
That's heavy.
Last week, the source says, quote, "Matt will always love Ben and think of him like a brother," said the source, who noted, quote, "Sometimes you have to step away to let people save themselves."
Fine. Damon, I don't ever want to see you again. Go away. I'm dating somebody else. I hate you.
Damon's currently focused on his wife and family, and his parting days are long, long behind him, said the source.
Yeah, that's kind of what
But Ben is living in the fast lane.
Yeah!
Despite their growing distance, Damon and Affleck will always have each other's backs. But at the moment, they just don't talk that much, and rehab is something Affleck is going to have to do all alone. It's very sad.
Sorry to hear that.
Very, very sad.
It's just that platitude that he'll always be there for him that they spent 3 minutes talking about this morning.
So stupid. They also, the
on Good Morning America.
Did you see the other big story about the Stand Your Ground, the new Stand Your Ground controversy in Florida?
There's a new one?
You didn't see the story about
it? No, I didn't see this.
The Uber driver that killed the other guy?
I read the story. You were talking about it, and I thought it was fairly, it's not very cut and dry. True's getting a phone call.
It's fake.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, why? Do you want to leave?
No. No, it's one of those that's near,
spoof.
Like my phone number. Yeah.
Similar
to my phone number spoofs.
I was going to say, it was close to your phone number.
Yeah.
Wait, so what is the call? What is it?
I never answer them anymore.
I'm getting so sick of it.
The credit department?
Yeah, usually that.
Yeah. I get a
fake credit department?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that you owe money to? Or they need to make a payment.
I think that they can give me a better deal on something.
Oh, okay. Right.
Or I get the ones just like you got. I get the ones about my warranty about the truck that burned down. So
is
I asked them,
is that fake?
I think I don't know. I always ask them like, hey, can you know might burn down? What can you do for me? Type of thing. But you know what? I also get ones that are just cold calls from like True Green or something, and they want to add another.
Oh, I'm so
service.
Mad at True Green.
They hit me up like 6 times a week. I'm like, you guys just called me yesterday.
Yeah, the Oakland Press is my nemesis.
Yeah.
I accept this guy was, I don't know, he's trying to go to, you know, the World Spelling Bee in Australia or something and need one more Sunday subscription. You had to take the paper for like 6 Sundays for a dollar or something. Yeah, I mean, it was insanely cheap. And I was like, well, he's at my door and I want him to go away. And
did you say this?
I'm taking my talents to the National Spelling Bee.
Yeah, it was something like that. I was just kidding about the spelling. I don't know what he was. It was something he needed subscriptions for. And so I was like, I really want you to go away, and I think I have $5. And I just gave him the money. And since then, the Oakland Press will not leave me alone.
Oh, yeah. Once they have you.
And they kept delivering the paper, too. And it's like, oh, I have to keep picking up this wet paper and throwing it out or whatever. I just wasn't really reading it.
I had a guy call
the
other
day. I don't dislike the Oakland Press either. I just... really, and I want them to leave me alone.
I think I called the other day and he asked for, like, is Derek there? I'm like, nope, there's no Derek here. Well, I'm wondering if you were interested in then winning the whole spiel. I'm
maybe
like,
you can help me.
You're not looking for me. You're looking for Derek. Go find him.
I always get Ryan. Hey, is this Ryan? No. Oh, maybe Ryan. You can help me.
No, I can't. Leave
me alone. That's insidious.
Oof. You get people coming to your door.
Now, I have a no soliciting sign, so no.
I do. I get a lot.
I get tons of people. I'm stunned. I'm like, wait, it's 2018. Why are you at my door?
I had a kid walk up. And
the Oakland Press guy succeeded.
I had a kid walk up and then leave, and Julie's like, what's that guy doing? He's wearing like a football jersey. I said, oh, he's probably one of those guys that, you know, sometimes they'll leave flyers because they'll pick up cans or whatever to help support the team.
Yeah.
And so I open the door, and he's like between our house. I go, do you need something? He goes, yeah, I'm selling coupons. And he started coming back. He said, oh, never mind then. I waved him. I felt like such a dick.
You know.
It was a charity thing.
Kristen got one 2 weeks ago where I'm not exactly sure what she was selling, but she had asked to use the bathroom. And Kristen's like, no.
What?
Kristen just said, nope, you're not coming in here. Sorry.
Well, that would freak me out.
Yeah.
Well, then you figure if it's bullshit, they're going to just bust in. They're going to just knock her over and come in.
Home invasion. Uh-huh.
They took a dump in your yard.
This guy from True Green came to my door.
He's driving me up a wall, but go ahead.
And I answered it, and he's like, yeah, I'm from True Green. I'm like, you know what? I have a lawn service. And he goes, and your lawn looks like this?
Oh
like, dick.
Like, look, I don't care what my lawn's like. And then I remembered that we used to have True Green in West Bloomfield. I'm like, by the way, you had a lawn in West Bloomfield. It didn't look any better than this. Like, whoa, what were you doing to it? And I'm like, I'm not getting into all this shit with you. Get out of here. Leave me alone.
Well, I use them and they spray it. And last time they sprayed, I was sitting on the couch with Annie and I see the guy come up and he puts the thing on the door and then leaves. And I grab it and the first thing says, I tried to talk to you, but nobody was home. And I was so
liar.
I was so mad about that lie that I called and complained. And they're like, well, we'll come out and resurface it. And then I think I was telling you this, Judy. And then I realized, you know, like 5 days later when they're going to come out, I was thinking, I didn't want them to.
No.
I felt like a dick for complaining, but I was really mad that he did that. So then they're like, okay, he'll be out on Sunday. And then nobody showed up Sunday.
Of course.
That's bullshit.
Brandon, I hate to tell you this, but there's somebody we really should probably call.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I watched his Periscope show yesterday.
Okay.
Andrew Dick. From the show You Don't Know Dick.
Oh. I tried.
We haven't tried him in ages.
I tried him before the show. He didn't pick up. So.
Oh, no, I messed up. Fuck.
His Periscope thing was so disjointed. It lagged. It just paused. It started pausing. And I'm like, wait, the comments are coming up, but it's pausing. What the hell's going on? It lagged, I swear to God, for like 3 minutes at a time.
Really?
It took me like 40 minutes to get through 11 minutes.
Well, what? I'm sorry.
Oh, looks like
that's
broken
fake.
Now.
That's fake. You're playing a drop.
No longer in service. Oh. If you feel you have reached,
are you sure?
That's got to be small fingers.
The thing about the Uber shooting.
The fingers you have used to dial are sorry, too true. Fat.
By the way, the Aretha concert was supposed to start at 6 o'clock. It's still not started.
What?
I'm watching the live feed, and it's just...
Four people were waiting in their lawn chairs at, like, 4 o'clock.
There's no one there. I feel like they have
the
wrong
They sold
life.
It out.
Oh.
They said it was sold out.
Doing it on Aretha time.
By the way, where'd the money go for that concert?
What?
To Aretha? To the burial? To the dresses?
But she had $80 million. She didn't pay for
her
own
dresses.
Oh, I don't know. Who knows?
Now, what happens? She has her will has to go to probate, just like Prince, right?
Yes.
That's terrible.
She has four living sons, I guess. So it sounded like it was pretty cut and dried, but they did say that there's many other relatives who will probably put a claim in, and I think what they typically do is they go, yeah, here's 10 grand, go away, fuck you.
Smart.
Has she continued to not pay bills? This is an awkward question to ask on the third day of Aretha.
I've been wondering the same thing all week.
Because whoever...
creditors, yeah.
Whoever gets her money then has to pay off all those creditors.
Yeah, I would think they might make a claim. If there are still creditors, hopefully she got caught up. I'd like to think that.
And if you're a creditor,
on the phone, what's going on?
Yeah,
if you're a creditor, is that a dick move now that everybody's celebrating?
Nah,
your life?
By the time that pops up in court, months will go by and people go, "Oh, she didn't pay that guy." Plus, is anyone going to doubt it, a creditor? I mean,
no, I know, no, hell no.
I didn't get too far into it. I got 22 minutes in. It still wasn't really on a roll.
Like I was cranking on the trumpet.
I know, the whole time. Mark, he was playing trumpet for like 15 minutes.
I know. That's all I heard down here was.
There's a guy that looked like.
Call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 2-1.
He's got rid of his outgoing.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Andy, Detroit calling. The Drew and Mike Show. It's been a while. Don't ditch us for too long. Anyway, I watched your Periscope last night. Just wanted to talk and dick around on the phone. Hope you're doing all right. We'll see you. See you.
Oh, no, I messed up. Fuck.
He's been posting a lot of pictures on Instagram, like from back in the day with other celebrities.
Isn't he supposed to be in Thailand or?
No.
That didn't take.
I don't know what happened with Thailand. Does anyone think he really went to Thailand?
No.
I don't know. He was saying he was going to move there.
I thought that he had posted a couple pictures.
Did he?
I could be wrong. He's in California. Maybe it looked like Thailand.
Could have been a Johnny Manziel move.
Do you want to call the number that he posted on Twitter for his show?
Sure.
I don't know.
They weren't getting a lot of phone calls either. It's kind of weird.
It only got 35 likes on Twitter.
Oh.
I'm surprised it got 35. It was really hard to watch.
I don't know what this number is too. There you go, Brandon.
I was angry. I think Andy's at his best when he's a guest on our show. I swear, I'm serious. He's a better guest than he is a host to me.
Yeah.
And I was kind of, I was watching with trepidation. I'm thinking, oh God, he's going to be really funny. And he is. And I'm going to go, God, why do I spend all this time doing what I do?
Thank
this guy just fucking decides to do a show.
Podcast network.
Oh, yeah, this is the podcast network.
This show is currently offline.
What?
If you wish to record a message for the show, press 1.
Oh.
Otherwise, okay. Hang up.
Yeesh.
Please record your message after the tone.
Oh, I'm gonna do
when
this.
You are done recording,
lots of
press
coming.
The pound key or hang up.
Hey, Andy. It's Detroit, the Drew and Mike Show. Looking for you again, even on this phone number. You should have called us before your Periscope show so we could have helped you promote it. But there's no rhyme or reason. We love when you answer, and we always have fun with you. Brandon's playing. Brent's having some gas issues, apparently. He still has a couple of your pictures on his phone, by the way.
I do.
Yes.
We have not made them public, though.
Nope.
And we won't threaten to do that unless you never talk to us again. Hope you're doing well, Andy. I did watch your Periscope show, by the way. You should call us. We can promote it for you. And we can dick around. See ya!
We can Andy dick around.
You don't know Dick. That is a great name for a show.
That really totally is. Yeah.
I couldn't figure out who these people were. You had a guy from Cirque du Soleil. I know it's on camera, but I don't know who this dude was.
Cirque du Soleil don't talk about things. All they do is
That's what I thought.
Dance.
And bend in twirl. Weird ways.
And he had a guy who the camera was on this guitar player almost the whole time. And he was out of the picture for a lot of the time. It was just on this Jack Black looking guitar player. And people were commenting that he looked like Jack Black. And I think he was bumming out a little bit.
About names, Harlan, the Colonel Sanders.
Oh, yeah.
There's a contest now for whoever gives birth on his birthday and names their kid Harlan will get
$11,000. That's it? $11,000?
They arrive at $11,000.
Is this a KFC promotion? Couldn't they at least get free chicken?
In honor of KFC's 11 herbs and spices.
Oh.
No kind of sandwich. You're wrong.
Intended for the newborn Harlan's college tuition.
That's kind of a cool name.
Harlan. You know a couple of Harlans.
Like Harlan Williams.
Well, Harlan Huckabee is way cool. But yeah. I don't know. It just seems like an Harlan. Is it Harlan?
Harlan.
Harlan Williams is cool.
Seems like a southern name, maybe. Maybe it's an old name. I don't know. Will people name the, I mean, knowing that some idiots will do this, will people do it for the $11,000?
And then only one will get it? There'll be a whole rash of Harlans.
I would want to talk to the marketing department over there. I don't think they're doing the right
breaking
thing.
Breaking news, the Aretha celebration has started.
Oh, it has? Okay.
With this lady singing Ave Maria.
Did it seem weird to charge for tickets to this?
Well, yeah.
I guess you have to pay the production costs, but...
How much were they?
I don't know. They sold out really fast. But I think people are such fans, they just go, oh, I'll pay anything for anything!
Where else are you going to see Fantasia and Tyler Perry in the same room?
Fantasia. By the way, I saw her name was Fantasia Barrino today, and I was like, no, that's not her last name. Fantastic. I completely forgot her name was Barrino.
Yeah, it's Fantastic Burrito.
Absolutely. What's her brother's name, by the way?
Teeny? Teeny?
It is
Teeny Burrito?
It was Teeny.
Fantastic and Teeny Burrito.
He's such an asshole.
He's great.
Oh, my God, he was such a dork.
Well, his name was Teeny.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a total mooch.
Total bummer.
It was like... Well, Fantasia made it, so I made it too.
Fantasia Valentini. Oh,
really? Yeah. He hitched his wagon.
He wanted to buy him cars and stuff, and she did.
Wait, she did? How long was she famous, though?
She still is, man.
I guess she's kind of a draw. She was doing shows.
Really?
The problem is for somebody like that who comes up in the you don't sell records era, I mean, she has kids and stuff. I don't know how much she can tour and how much of a draw she is. So
her celebrity net worth is... Oh, you have 5 million. I have 3 million over here.
What?
Yeah.
I want an audit.
An audit?
I don't think it's that high.
From CelebrityNetWorth?
Yes.
.com?
I've seen Celebrity Net Worth, by the way, where they have changed their net worth dramatically over a few months. Mm. Like they find something out, and all of a sudden, somebody who they think has $10 million has minus $1
million. Oh, boy.
Like, I think Robin was the first one I saw them do that on. Robin has a negative number, last I saw.
Hmm. Yeah, there's quite a few. That haven't
what, is, what do they say Johnny Depp has?
Oh, I thought
that's a good one to check.
It was a lot last time.
Celebrity
I saw
net worth
it.
Is a fun thing. You can really get lost in that place.
How much does he owe his lawyers for getting him out from underneath them?
He sued his lawyers.
He sued, yeah, but then he had to use lawyers to sue.
I'm seeing $200 million.
$200 million.
I'm doubting that.
It says it was $400 million, but it's been slashed in the last 2 years to $200 million.
Mm. Okay. Hmm.
But, hell, maybe he still has 150 houses that are worth,
Yeah, well, they were kind of implying that those houses that he overpaid for them, or he was underwater on them, and he was just storing shit in them. They weren't making any income. And paying the mortgage was getting to be a bit of a job because he owned, he owned 120 houses or something. I mean, it's like it sounds like for a few years he just walked around going, oh, my God, we're close. I'm going to buy it. And you just walk up to the front door and go, what do you take for that out? I mean, it was just, he just was a crazy spender.
Yeah.
And then, he ended up suing his lawyer manager and his agency, claiming they're all ripping him off. He's had mixed results.
You'd be glad to know Eli just sent the link to the baseball rule, the fourth out.
That is the weirdest rule. It's crazy.
Why is he rubbing it in?
I don't know.
He's rubbing in his victory.
Bullshit.
See, Elon Musk is tweeting again.
Great. Oh, Azalea Banks apologized to him, too.
Oh, did she?
Is that her name?
That's right, yeah. I saw that. Yeah, I think it was
Azalea Banks.
Isn't that it? Yeah, she wrote a letter to him and apologized.
About?
Well, because they had this big battle going on because he took her phone.
Doesn't he? Hasn't he doubled down on the thing with the scuba diver?
Yes, he has. Yeah. The,
oh, he did the, again?
The pedo man. Yeah, because that
apologized.
That guy's suing. Yeah, but now he's doubling down. He's there's a lot to unpack, Drew. He's going back to double down.
Why is he doubling down again?
Because there's too many moving parts, like Brandon said.
So he apologized, and then the guy sued him, and so he said, he is a pedophile. Because I mean, yes. That seems like it's very ill-timed.
Well,
after the guy declares he's filing a suit to say that, yes, I think he really is a pedophile. Unless, did he have send an investigator over there and find out he's a pedophile?
Maybe. Here's the story.
Yeah, what was the basis for it? Because he's saying that, well, the guy didn't really...
I think he was saying that he was so into rescuing the 12-year-olds that he must be a pedophile. I think that... Wasn't that kind of the mindset there?
Yes. Yeah, that absolutely was. So on Tuesday...
Which is pretty funny. It sounds like something someone I know might say. I can say who.
Wait, what?
It sounds... I mean, just the theory.
Oh.
That guy sure is into these 12-year-olds.
Oh, yeah. There's a New York Times profile that depicted the CEO as stressed out, working 120 hours a week, alternating between laughter and tears. Musk replied, I wasn't crying. For the record, my voice cracked once during the New York Times article. That's it. There were no tears, he tweeted. Soon after, a Twitter user reminded Musk about the time he accused Vernon Unsworth, British rescue diver working to rescue the trapped Thai soccer team, of being a pedophile. But on Tuesday, he inexplicably returned to that argument. You don't think it's strange he hasn't sued me,
yeah.
Musk tweeted.
But I thought he did.
I think after he tweeted that, didn't he? The guy say, okay,
oh,
I'll
then
sue
he
you.
Said,
yeah, boy.
Did you investigate the accusations at all? Musk later tweeted. I'm guessing the answer is no. Why? Some hours later, Unsworth's lawyer replied to the tweet with a picture of a letter sent to Musk informing him he would be sued for libel.
Whoa.
Can you say libel?
Can you spell?
I would think proving pedophilia with someone who's never been charged would be very tricky.
Yeah.
That's what Catholic priests say.
So Azalea Banks, she had made all these weird claims about him. Do we know why he took her telephone and that he took it?
I don't remember. I don't know.
Well, she went out there to record with his girlfriend, Grimes.
Grimes, mm-hmm.
And apparently she never got around to recording, and she claimed that it was because she implied that they wanted her to have sex with them.
Yeah, a lot of weird shit.
Yeah, a lot of weird stuff.
Doing a lot of weird drugs.
A lot of weird drugs, yeah. And I mean, it was like, wow, this is a guy who leads a company that is on the stock exchange. I mean, this is really not good.
Yeah.
And now she has said... And there was obviously some panic about her phone. I don't know what the deal was with her phone, if she was taking pictures that they didn't want out there. That would make me nervous if somebody just showed up and starts taking a bunch of pictures. Yeah. It's just strange. So I don't know, but this business of taking people's phones, I don't know why people think they can do that. It's like if you can't trust someone to be in your home with a phone, then they probably shouldn't be in your home.
Yeah.
So she never did record, but... She had a change of heart, revealed an apology letter she wrote to Elon Musk. I feel terrible at everything. I guess I can start apologizing for all the painful events you've endured over the past week as though my actions have largely exacerbated them. She's referring to include Musk being subpoenaed by the SEC and reportedly breaking up with his girlfriend. Over the time spending liaising? With Grimes, I was welcome to a lot of personal information about you. The stuff made me feel awkward and uncomfortable about being privy to you, yet I never had the intention of ever using the information against you. Oh, really?
That's interesting.
Can't understand a word.
She never said it wasn't true.
What started off as a catfight led to some seriously unexpected consequences, and I seriously apologize. She accused him of a slew of stringers in regard to his alleged drug use and him scrounging for investors. Later, she slammed Musk again and compared her status house to a real-life episode of Get Out. Jeez.
Nice.
I'm here with you today to apologize.
How big a deal is Azalea Banks?
Never even heard of her.
Never heard of her.
She's had some hits.
Like big hits?
I don't know how big they are.
I don't know where they charted.
I would just think anybody who spills this kind of stuff would not have a great deal of luck working with people that matter.
No.
By the way, you know the girl that was speaking about Matthew Perry?
Yeah.
Did you see the rest of that story? Somebody sent it to me. Two people sent it to me. She is releasing screenshots of texts with Kid Rock.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
Same
that.
Girl. Bitch. Same girl. Yep. And
when?
She must be broke or something. Oh, she's just selling everything.
Good luck getting a date again.
She claims she had some kind of relationship with Kid Rock over the last 10 years.
Is she hot?
Well, that's a little...
She's kind of attractive.
She's got a green blob.
Oh.
Or two.
Well, forget it.
And he was... The text she released, she claimed that his wife went off on her, and he apologized for that. They weren't.
How do they know
weren't
each other?
Terribly incriminating. He was playing golf, I think, and sort of sounded like he was getting back to her. I don't know. It was.
It's Julie Andrews' granddaughter.
Yeah, Julie Andrews' granddaughter.
Chick who's
Matthew
no
Perry's
kidding?
Ex. Perry's on a roll though.
What she did to Matthew Perry was, I don't know. I just thought that was so shitty. If you don't want to be somebody's girlfriend, then don't or boyfriend, then don't be their boyfriend. If you're gonna be their girlfriend, then can anyone expect any kind of privacy in a personal relationship like that? I mean, a girlfriend, that's someone I think you. I don't know. I guess I like to think it all goes away when it's over.
No, it should. I was re-listening to Robin.
People are shitty sometimes when they first break up. They say things they regret, but usually over time, people kind of go, "Well, you know, it was a time in my life. I like that person, whatever." You know.
And then it's re-tap time.
Yeah, then it's re-tap time. Maybe it is re-tap time. Yeah, then you're getting yourself back into God knows what. But I don't know. I just thought that was nasty. It's like he's a star and I'm not, and I need money, so here goes. And there's always takers.
Robin Wilson yesterday when he was talking about his relationship with Doug Hopkins, and he said, you know, for many years everybody blamed him and he didn't want to really say. There were a lot of things that he could have, but he didn't, and he wanted to keep that part private, and so he got blamed for it. Which, by the way, I was like, oh, he made himself the victim.
Yeah, and the victim position isn't always bad.
But...
Because the victim, I mean, people feel sorry for the victim.
Yeah.
But I was going to point that out, but it was a real heavy topic.
True, it needed more explanation. But, I kind of understood and respected what he had to say about that because there are a lot of people who feel like everything has got to be everybody's business. And privacy for some things.
It's a very lost art.
You're entitled to it.
I think, of course, he did reveal that he slugged him at the bar and shrieked at him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's
so,
right.
I mean, at the same time he was telling us that he let it all go, he sort of let a little bit of it out. And he over the years he has, and I think people who are around the band and aware of what they're going, know that was not your garden variety argument. That guy had real serious, he killed himself. He had terrible problems. Yeah. You can't blame anyone for that.
Sure, but, you know, living in Phoenix, where everybody says,
they kicked him out of the band.
How dare you do that, right. You asshole, and you're actually trying to be the better guy and benevolent and help. And
he is the new front guy, so he gets a lot of the blame anyway.
Yeah.
I really was impressed that they continued to have the success they had. I mean, that was the guy who was really the power behind that band. And they had multiple releases after that they did very well.
Yeah. And they
you
will.
Have to wonder how well they would have done if that guy had been okay. I mean, would they have been bigger?
Or
lasted longer? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that song is pretty, you know.
Yeah, but they've also done some songs
on
their own that have done well. Yeah, that's a great song.
Still making money.
Boy, to have a couple hits.
Yeah.
So, let's see. We better get out of here. We got to get the best of together for the weekend. We have a new advertiser, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Cunneth, who we've known for a while, and he's in the real estate business. We've been looking for a real estate person for a while. And he's going to sponsor the best of, and I'm going to... I'm going to keep the regular crowd in touch with what he does, too.
From Coldwell Banker.
Yeah.
CBWM.com/SKUNNATH. You want to check him out?
Let's see. He will call you back in a timely manner. If you prefer to text, his thumbs work fine, just like Drew, which I like. He's a listener of the show, too, has been for years and years. So he speaks your language. If he doesn't know the answer, he'll get it. His word is his guarantee. Call, text, or email Realtor Scott Cunneth of Coldwell Banker, Weir Manuel. Is that Weir Manuel?
Yeah.
To see what your home is worth or help you in finding a new one, 248-797-7746. Cunneth? Okay. Oh, boy.
No, I
need to know.
We're just getting to know him.
248-797-7746. 248-797-7746. Or S. Cunneth. Cunneth, did I say it right?
Cunneth, cool.
At CBWM. And we'll tell you more on the best of. And he'll hopefully be with us for a while. We can help him get his real estate career. He's been at it for a while. And worked with us in the same building, at least. And left about the same time as us, too. So there you go. Anyway, the best of on the weekend. And we'll see you at Arts Beats and Eats Saturday, 4 to 7 at Mesa between 3rd and 4th Street on Main Street.
Yeah, all right. I'll see you guys there.